Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome back, folks. It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back, and we are live this February 21st, 2012, right here from the heart of where it all happens, the D.C. area. I am your host, Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. Again, that is 347-308-8701. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com, or you can check us out on reeseontheradio.com anytime you like. Find out anything you need to find out. Of course, as we told you yesterday, the big announcement right here from the D.C. area is where Reese on the Radio will be here all the time, every day, all day, sitting around, following politics, maybe following you. But we're going to be here, nonetheless. Anyway, got a big show for you today. In the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the director of the D.C. chapter of the Guardian Angels, who's been making the rounds out here in the local news about the crime rate that has spiked in Washington, D.C. Now, look, if anybody knows anything about the D.C. area, it's ghetto. That's bottom line. There's no other way to put it. It is a large urban sprawl. And when a neighborhood is exclusively or largely ghetto, crime tends to rise. That's just a fact. If it rises in white neighborhoods, it's usually in those neighborhoods, you know, where there's a lot of methamphetamine use. There's a lot of crystal meth use. And those towns are usually ghettos as well. So most people who ascribe the word ghetto to blacks and or Negroes, you may be offended at the fact that I say the reason why D.C. has a high crime rate is because of the Negroes living in D.C. And it is not because of the Negroes living in D.C. Not all Negroes are crime committers. But there is a large spike in crime in the D.C. area. We will talk to the director of the D.C. chapter of the Guardian Angels, Mr. John Ayala, about why he thinks the crime has spiked in those areas. Because I heard him on the news, and I like to think personally, and I'm not trying to bash the guy on any level, but I told him when I spoke to him today and asked him to be on the show, I said I wanted to ask him some real clear questions about the crime rate that's happening in our cities, in our urban cities. Being a director of the Guardian Angels, he probably has much more knowledge than a lot of people do. Not a lot of people speculate, but I know what the reason is. I'm going to see whether or not John Ayala, the president or the director, for that matter, of the D.C. chapter of the Guardian Angels, feels the same way that I do. So 8 o'clock, stick around for that. We'll talk about that. But we've got bigger news, damn it. There's bigger news. It's not all bad news. Sometimes we talk about the good news here. And I don't know whether or not you heard, but there is a new black television network that is coming to the airwaves in June. Aren't you excited? First, BET, Black Entertainment Television, and TV One, owned by Radio One. Oprah, the OWN network. Well, is that really a black network?
Well,
Well, she's black.
I don't know. She's black. I guess it's black owned. I guess it's fine or whatever. I heard Tyler Perry's got one coming too. But this man, if he's not into, I mean, he's into everything. Man owns KFC, Starbucks, movie theaters. Yeah, his group is associated with Starbucks, too. Yeah. Mr. Irvin Magic Johnson has got his own TV network coming in June of 2012. That's right, folks. Mr. Irvin Magic Johnson. The man can beat anything. I mean, if the man can beat HIV, he got to be able to get a TV network. The man, he defied all odds. Defied all odds. How can you not allow this man to get his own television network? And why not? I think it's only right. So we must give him a round of applause. But I have to stop right there. Because he's calling the network Aspire TV. Sounds like a religious network. Well, it turns out there will be some religious programming on there. I got a sneak peek at the new summer lineup.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you?
Well, we're moving on now.
We're moving on
to the...
What's going to be on the new Aspire network?
So they're going to bring all those shows back?
No, no, no. That was just a joke.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's just me ragging on it. Come on, we know what these networks do. I mean, there's now a network. JC, have you heard of this network called Centric?
No.
You haven't heard of it? You've got to hear it. It's a network on cable. It's called Centric. So, of course, you know what it's short for. It's Afrocentric. I turned to it the other day, and I was watching, what was that? Oh, The Cosby Show was on there. And, of course, that like moments later, 227 was on there. That's all these black networks ever do because they're talking about putting on original black programming. They never put on original black programming. It's here. It's sparse. I mean, am I really going to have to watch episodes?
WB for that.
No, you can't watch WB anymore. We Black Television doesn't exist. Now it's called the CW.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Well, but
no, we center on whites. That's why it's called the CW.
Oh.
They center on whites on that channel right now. Everybody on there. Buffy's back. We had Supernatural, The Ringer. It's all white now. We center. When it was called WB, it was We Black Channel. It was the We Black Channel. Now it's the CW, centraling on whites.
They took
all the blacks over there. Yes, exactly. All of that is gone.
No,
that's right. Damn right. So what are they going to do on Aspire? We know what they're going to play. They're going to play repeats of Girlfriends. The whole lineup is there. I just played it for you. Miss an episode of Sanford and Son? Don't worry. Aspire's got you covered. So my question is whether or not this is relevant. Why do we need all of these African-American networks just playing the same thing? Well, we know BET, forget about it. BET's not really doing anything. I mean, no original broadcasting. What do they have over there, JC? I know you watch that network. I won't even watch them for research, BET. What do they have over on BET? What's their programming like?
Well, they got The Game.
Okay, right. The Game, which...
ever seen in my life.
The Game has been removed.
Awesome.
No, it's not. It's not even real. It's not even good acting. They're horrible.
It's a playground for Kelsey Grammer.
Is that a Kelsey? Wait a minute.
Yes, it is.
Is that a Kelsey Grammer produced television show?
That it is.
Okay, because Girlfriends, I remember, was his show.
The white man.
Right.
Well, you don't absolutely think that there's going to be a black guy out there with the exception of Tyler Perry. Now, Tyler Perry's got TBS on lock.
Yeah, he got Ted Turner on lock.
Yeah, Ted Turner on lock, right.
Well, they just canceled. They just got done with, I believe it's House of Pain. I think that's done, but they have like 300 episodes in the can.
Wait. So House of Pain is gone. What about Happily?
Meet the Browns.
Yeah, Meet the Browns. Please tell me that buffoon on there, Mr. Brown, who, by the way, winner of the NAACP Image Award. You think I'm kidding? Look it up. They gave that man an NAACP Image Award. That coon buffoon. Yes, he is. You know that boy. He was a buffoon wearing those loud ass pants, butterfly pants, with the patchwork pants and the butterfly collars, dancing and shucking and jiving. NAACP gave him an Image Award.
He was funny though.
It's just a character.
Don't
it doesn't matter if it's just a character. Really, really? Listen to this, folks.
You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do. We were in France in the First War. We had won decorations. But the white boys had told all them French gals that we had tails. Then they found this ignorant colored soldier. Paid him to tie a tail to his ass and run around half naked making monkey sounds. Put him on a big round table in the Cafe Napoleon. Put a reed in his hand. Crown on his head. Blanket on his shoulders and made him eat bananas in front of all them Frenchies. Oh, the white boys danced that night. Passed out leaflets with that boy's picture on it. Called him Moonshine. King of the monkeys. And when we slit his throat, you know that fool asked us what he had done wrong.
That was harsh.
I know it's harsh, but that's the damage one Negro can do.
That's one of the greatest actors in the world. You wash your mouth out with soap, young lady.
That man is Adolf Caesar. That's one of the greatest actors. And that is a scene from A Soldier's Story. He was talking about one of the little CJ, the guitar player. Up there, fiddling, talking about how he was.
She would remember him as the father from The Color Purple.
That's Adolf Caesar. But he's talking about the damage that one Negro can do. He's out there cooning and buffooning. People out there start to think that that's the way that we behave. And he's talking about how that one Negro in France, you know, the white boys paid him money to go out there and tie a tail to his body, half naked, screaming around, acting like a monkey. That's what he said. When we slit his throat, he asked us, what had he done wrong? He didn't even understand it. That he was portraying an image for white people that was going to spread like wildfire. Those Frenchies was going to look at us. And he was going to paint a picture. They got a flyer out there and everything. So
my daddy's favorite movie.
Any TV show that shows somebody like Mr. Brown cooning and buffooning in the way that he's doing, and then gets an Image Award for that. What do you think?
I think he was funny. I don't think they should have got an Image Award.
Well, you're damn right he shouldn't have got an Image Award. But that's what people need to recognize. That's why he's saying.
You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do.
That's right. You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do.
I still think he's a comedic genius.
That's
but he is funny as hell.
Well, I don't think he's funny.
And you know what? And I think that most black people relate to him because we've all got that one uncle that dresses like that, that's that loud.
Yeah, but you know what? Look at
white folks all got that one uncle that shows up with one tooth.
You took the words out of my mouth.
15 overalls and a holy T-shirt.
But that's
a holy white beetle.
You know what? That's all fine and good. But we, you know, there's a difference between, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, JC, and you'll know this. A perfect example of that is compare the two. Do you think is a real depiction of black folks when you see Mr. Brown or a real depiction of black folks when you see John Witherspoon in the movie Boomerang?
Well, them two are like brothers in the family.
Exactly. But they, if you think about where I'm going with this is that John Witherspoon is sort of a much more realistic version
more realistic
of that
character, right.
More realistic characterization.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, until you got family down in like Georgia and Alabama, Mr. Browns do exist.
Oh, they do.
They do. And that's why those shows are so very popular on the Chitlin' Circuit.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, this is what that is.
It's
what do you think?
It's hard for me to wrap my head around this. I can't.
What? Because okay, is it hard for you to wrap it around it because I refuse to kowtow to what they feed black people as entertainment? Because that's what this is. I mean, I understand how
But look at what they feed to white people: Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Why can't we get a vampire slayer? I would like to see a black vampire slayer.
We had a black vampire at one point, and he was horrible.
He was horrible. But no, we had Blade. But Blade is part vampire, and we had a movie. We didn't get a TV show. I know he had a series of movies, but we only
vampire
had
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Vampire in Brooklyn was garbage. You're not allowed to even mention that. You got to be kidding. Even Eddie Murphy won't mention that movie. But we don't have TV shows like, okay, well, we don't have TV shows that even compare. Our TV shows aren't even written in the same vein.
But ours are all like fantasy land.
Well,
you know, and I shouldn't even say ours because I'm.
And that's a hot genre though.
But a lot of white Caucasian shows are referencing a fantasy land.
Well, even if it is, but the bottom line
is, but they're not getting awards for it.
Right. They're not, exactly.
Not for Image Awards, not for what that award stands for.
It's not awarded. What I'm saying is that there's no original black broadcasting that I see on television today. It's always the very typical storyline. Look at The Game. What is
The Game
about?
Is a good show.
Even though it's a good show. Fine. In your opinion, it's a good show. But my bottom line is, what's The Game about? Football players. Why? Because there's no stretch. There's no stretch whatsoever for black storylines. Oh, football players. They even got one light-skinned character married to a white girl. To, of course, what? Bolster the stereotype?
They divorced her. Divorced.
I know they're divorced, but he married her.
Probably left for a black woman, too.
Now, in fact, he's dating Brandy from what I hear in the show, right?
Yeah.
Brandy's on the show. Brandy, like Brandy?
Yes, Brandy.
The boy is mine?
Yes. Okay. Ray J's big sister.
Whitney's brother-in-law.
Sister-in-law, yeah, exactly. But the storylines on there, look, there's no stretch. You never, ever have, like, a buddy TV show like you do in all of the rest of these TV shows. You can never get a Perfect Strangers with two black characters. You can never...
They tried it, but it failed. Malcolm and Eddie.
Oh, that was a horrible show.
Garbage.
But again, that's because the storylines aren't original or rich.
What do you want? Like
but,
a black Morgan Mindy?
No. Here's what I want. I want regular broadcasting instead of typecast broadcasting for young African-American people. If you're going to make a TV show that only targets blacks with black characters, that's where you're going to fail. See, Dave Chappelle tried to do a TV show for ABC that was on for a little while, right? Dave Chappelle had a TV show on ABC. It was him and a white kid, and they were supposed to be best friends, and it was based upon he and his best friend. But it was too early for David Chappelle to do that show then because a couple of people knew him, but they barely knew him. So it's the reason why the show wasn't all that successful. But it was a relatively funny show because, you know, he was one of the writers on the show. But it was a very original concept. Sadly enough, stations like Aspire, BET, Centric, what's the other one, TV One, they're doing these shows where they're quote-unquote talking about how they're basing them just on black audiences. But
now, there's a new one called Bounce, too.
Yeah, but black audiences are so small. That you're destroying your brand by having a TV show that only caters to one type of audience. And people need to stop talking about how we don't have enough black people on television. We know why that is. The reason
because they're not going to put us on CMT.
No,
they're not going to put us on the Country Channel.
The reason why no black faces are on black television is because black people aren't watching TV. It's black people's fault that black TV shows are not on television.
It's funny that they would copy country music cribs.
Yeah, but you can't demand that they put more black faces on television and you don't watch. People don't watch. There are more black people watching. You know what black pro broadcasting is being watched more than anything? Come on, JC, you got to know which shows they are.
The shows that are being watched.
The highest rated television shows in the black demographic today.
Well, young white teens.
Nope. No, these are black shows. These are shows about black people geared towards blacks. They're the number one shows on television.
Cops?
Nope. Reality shows. Basketball Wives.
Yeah.
That TV show with Jim.
Love and Hip Hop.
Love and Hip Hop.
Atlanta Housewives.
That is the shows that black people are watching.
My favorite.
But they're not watching scripted black shows. There are a couple of them watching shows like The Game. But when you know that you can watch a real life train wreck in the black community called Love and Hip Hop, oh, you're going there.
I don't know, but see, like The Game, that was a different story because they had canceled The Game completely.
The fans petitioned
hard.
Again, but of course, what do you do when you can't afford a TV show on a major network? You end up removing it off the major network and you put it on some penny-ante network and everybody gets paid, literally, they get paid in stipends. It's the reason why...
Yeah, but it was never on a major network to begin with.
But it was a considerably... what was it on? Was it on CW?
Yeah.
That was on my network. It was on my network in New York, I know.
I thought it started on BET.
No. BET is who took over it.
Who took over it.
But yeah,
I mean, my network, come on, they canceled Girlfriends without notice as well.
My network is owned by Fox.
Is it?
Yeah, it's owned by Fox.
Rupert Murdoch.
But again, what am I supposed to do? It doesn't matter whether or not you want more black faces on television. You don't watch them. What am I supposed to just put them on TV where nobody's watching them? I just put black people on TV. Just for the sake of it. Oh, got to make that demographic. You ain't watching it. You don't know who the stars are. I can't send them out on press junkets because nobody really cares. But I'm just supposed to put them on TV because you demand it. Real dumbass.
Well, I don't know. Tyler Perry somehow carved himself a niche. He's carved himself a niche because TBS is major.
Well, that may be true, but look at the shows that are there. Okay, so House of Pain was on for a long time. Then he had the spinoff. What was that spinoff? Not Meet the Browns, the other TV show.
I just started with...
Ice Cube executive produced that other show. My mistake. What's the Ice Cube show?
No, but he's got another show on there. Right. Of Why Did I Get Married?
Right. Why Did I Get Married?
The Marriage Counselor or some crap.
Isn't it something called, has something to do with the wedding vows? Give me some of the lines of the wedding vows. Love, honor.
Love, honor, and obey.
Honor, obey, something like that. He said something, name of it is called Happily Ever After or something like that.
Something of the sort.
I can't even.
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, but whatever the name of it is, that's the TV show that. That he's put on there. And Ice Cube, what about his train wreck? Are We There Yet? Is that still on TV, or is that over with?
No, I think that's over with. One of my favorite actors, too, off of that show, Terry Crews.
It turned into a TV series called Are We There Yet with Terry Crews and the cute daughter from, the mother? What was she? Oh, she was on the TV show Half and Half.
Right.
Yeah, that was another old throwback TV show. But that one off the air. That was garbage. Nothing funny about that.
I mean, the Jeffersons did really well.
Yeah, but why did the Jeffersons do really well?
Sanford and Son did very well.
Sanford and Son did okay.
What's the show with what's his name and his brother with the white... the white guy that adopted them, the rich white guy.
Different Strokes?
That's
these were all white television shows.
Yeah. Those actually Norman Lear.
Norman Lear was a part of the Jeffersons.
And one of my favorite shows was, whatchamacallit, with J.J.
Good Times?
Yeah, Norman Lear.
But they were all, but it was all black people.
Do you know that Good Times is it has a chronological connection with the Jeffersons?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you know, all in a family.
Yeah, they're all connected.
All of them are all connected.
Yeah,
exactly.
I actually did a compare.
Yeah. So I don't know. So that's Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't Florida a maid for Maud?
Yes, Florida was Maud's maid, right? And that's how Florida got Good Times.
Carol O'Connor is like my third cousin.
Really? Wow.
And Norman Lear is a graduate of the Weaver High School, Hartford, Connecticut.
Wow.
Now.
Anyway, so here's Aspire TV, Magic Johnson Network.
Don't get us talking about John Gotti up in here.
Okay, all right, now we're done.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What time is right for you?
Well, we're moving on now.
Turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich.
In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
And welcome back to the show. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnRadio. The number is 347-308-8701. That's 347-308-8701. Now, look, as I always said, it's racism all the time right here on Reese on the Radio. We deal with race issues as they come up, whenever they come up. And there's one son of a gun I cannot stand. And that is a guy by the name of Michael Moore. And if he claims to be for black people, he is so invested in African Americans. And a lot of these fool-ass Negroes, as Jeremiah Wright likes to refer to them, don't see who this man is. What he does is exploit people. Now, people like Michael Moore, they can make any charges that they want about groups of people, especially about Republicans, conservatives, whatever. He can do that whenever it is that he wants. He doesn't have to back them up. He doesn't have to back them up. He doesn't even have to. I guess the best way to put it is that there doesn't have to be any proof. All he has to do is just say it, and it's fact. And I know a lot of fools out there, and you know who you are. There are a lot of fools out there who don't know better. Because once you hear the charge of racism, and again, to make sure that I'm clear, there are racists out there on either side, be they Republican, be they Democrat, be they conservative, be they liberal. But by the way, it's more on the liberals. But there are racists out there, bottom line. And there is racism out there, bottom line. But making blanket charges of racism in order to get people to behave a certain way is what it is that I call reprehensible. You see, guys like Michael Moore, these are people who they bring on their TV shows because they think he's a political mind. They believe he's politically smart. They think that he is brilliant. This is who it is they bring on TV. This is one of the people they think are the smartest in the room.
They hate anything that has to do with unions, auto workers, African-Americans. I mean, there's a racial element to this. That there's Detroit, and then there's the rest of us. And I think that Romney, I think that people just, this is... here's what I want to say. President Obama, I've been laughing a lot during this whole Republican thing and thinking just why are we even having an election? You know, Obama's got another 4 years. I think that's a mistake to really feel that way, because I remember us laughing at George W. Bush when he mispronounced things or he said things wrong. Like Santorum was saying this weekend, you know, it's the theology. Oh, I didn't mean theology.
Right.
When a couple of weeks ago when he said black, I didn't say black people, I just said black
people.
Yeah, but it's always code with them, you know. But yet he does mean to get that in there, to say those things, Islamic policies. If he said Obama was a serial killer, you know, they would come back later and he'd say, I didn't say that. I meant he likes cereal. I think this is going to be very interesting next week in Michigan. And the trees will be happy, I think, with the eventual outcome in November.
What the hell is he talking about?
I didn't understand any. I mean,
you didn't get anything, right?
No.
This is what he's just rambling.
He didn't make any points.
None.
Well, I couldn't even listen because it wasn't making any sense.
And what I loved is my favorite comparison. He says, remember when we were laughing at George W. Bush, you know, and when he would mispronounce things and, you know, and then he got back in four more years? What has that got to do with the fact that Obama's going to get another 4 years?
Obama's not getting another 4 years.
This fool pulled this trigger with Fahrenheit.
He sure
it's been a wrap for him ever since.
Well, yeah, it has been a wrap.
The person that did Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it's Fahrenheit 9/11. This is Michael Moore, right. And who was...
Didn't he do the McDonald's thing?
No. That's you're talking about Super Size Me. That's another guy. No, that's another guy entirely. This was Michael Moore, who got a lot of critical acclaim for a movie called Roger and Me, which is really pretty much where he should have stopped. Because then he did Bowling for Columbine, which completely went after the gun industry. And he distorted facts in that documentary as well, which turned out to be propaganda. Then he does Fahrenheit 9/11, and everybody was in an uproar. The movie does hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office, largest gross for a documentary in history. Everybody thought that movie was going to destroy George W. Bush. And the movie came out in the summer of 2004, in August. I sat through that movie with a pen and a pad.
Only I would,
to break down everything that he said in there that was an abject lie. And if you go see the movie now, go see the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, where they completely debunk everything he put in Fahrenheit 9/11, which is pretty much what all of it was. It was propaganda, but did George W. Bush. This movie, in fact, most people who wrote reviews on Fahrenheit 9/11 said the one movie that could take down President Bush, but was reelected. Now, how the hell would that happen?
Because they falsified the...
He falsified everything.
No, because they... No.
What?
Because of look at what they did in Florida with the vote.
Oh, I love it. I love the fact that you mentioned that.
I still haven't gotten that situation.
Really? Okay, so let's break this down.
I don't like
Bush. No, that's fine.
He's very entertaining, I must say.
Well, okay, so you don't
extremely
like...
Extremely entertaining. I used to watch him just because he made me laugh so hard.
Let's go.
He was such a horrible speaker.
Really? 57 states, corpsman, Barack Obama.
Listen, Barack Obama... Not a fan of his any longer.
Okay.
But he can speak.
Sure. 57 states, corpsman. He said it four times. Corpsman, not corpsman. Corpsman. No one batted an eye.
And he's a plagiarist.
That's right. Just words?
Yeah, but you...
From
a DeVal Patrick speech?
Okay, but listen. You have to admit that listening to George W. Bush Jr.
What's that got to do with anything?
Was hilarious.
What's that got to do with anything?
He was like some country bumpkin from Texas.
Oh, that is so...
The cowboy hat. I mean, it was hilarious. Come on. It was hilarious.
Since you mentioned the 2000 election in Florida, let me ask you a question. George W. Bush was reelected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the debacle that everybody claims took place in Florida, that means that in the 2004 election against John Kerry, that means that John Kerry must have won Florida handily, right?
No, hanging chads.
George W. Bush's brother was the governor. Wasn't he the governor or something?
Yes.
Okay.
But hold on.
It was rigged.
So if it was rigged, Why didn't George W. Bush lose Florida in 2004?
I don't know.
If he went into that election with so much scrutiny,
if Bush stole the election when he's going for re-election, and you know they're out to take him down, Fahrenheit 9/11 begins with the 2000 election.
Yeah.
It breaks down the 2000 election in the first part of the movie, and this movie came out in August of 2004. He breaks down the 2000 election. Why does George W. Bush win Florida? Against John Kerry, doesn't matter. Did he win handedly?
I don't know.
Because if somebody robs you and you know the guy who robbed you and you see him walking down the street again, you don't walk right up to him again and be robbed a second time, do you?
Well, look at these morons in D.C. that voted Marion Barry.
Well, I knew you were going to mention Marion Barry, but that has to do again.
Idiot.
But if Marion Barry stole the, but if
he was stealing money from. He was stealing money from the local government, hiring whores that he was sleeping with, giving them positions.
Is that alleged?
No, it's not alleged.
We're talking two different. We're talking about two different situations.
And now you're talking about two situations. But if George W. Bush stole the election in 2004, that means that the scrutiny on Florida should have been even higher, shouldn't it have been? But it wasn't. And he beat John Kerry in Florida. In fact, the state that had the most contention was the Ohio vote.
Right, Ohio was the issue in 2004.
The issue in 2004.
So
when John Kerry refused to concede.
That's right. He refused to concede Ohio, but he lost, which is the bottom line. So I don't believe any of this crap about George W. Bush stealing the election in 2000 in Florida.
But if Michael Moore had his way, Michael Moore would say everybody from Florida moved to Ohio, everybody from Ohio moved to Florida.
Exactly. He would then start talking about the move out rate. How many people from Florida moved to Ohio that year? Were they the same people who caused the debacle in 2000? I don't know.
Anything to make a movie make sense, you know?
But listen to the way Michael Moore is talking about how how the Republican Party doesn't like blacks. Nothing to back it up, just says it.
They hate anything that has to do with unions. Auto workers, African Americans. I mean, there's a racial element to this. That there's Detroit, and then there's the rest of us. And I think that Romney. I think that people just. This is.
here's what I want to say. President Obama. I mean, I've been laughing a lot during this whole Republican thing, and thinking just why are we even having an election? You know, Obama's got another 4 years. I think that's a mistake to really feel that way, because I remember us laughing at George W. Bush when he mispronounced things or he said things wrong. Like Santorum was saying this weekend, you know, it's the theology. Oh, I didn't mean theology.
Right.
A couple weeks ago when he said black, I didn't say black people, I just said black
people.
Yeah, but it's always code with them, you know. But yet he does mean to get that in there, to say those things, Islamic policies. If he said Obama was a serial killer, you know, they would come back later and he'd say, I didn't say that. I meant he likes cereal. I think this is going to be very interesting next week in Michigan, and the trees will be happy. I think with the eventual outcome in.
Why? Listen, I got to ask.
The trees will be happy with the eventual outcome.
The trees will be happy with the eventual outcome.
What does that mean?
A lot to me, though.
Yeah, you heard it too. Now, I heard the trees would be happy. You know exactly what I heard in that.
Who the hell are the trees?
Yeah, what trees would be happy?
The marijuana trees?
No. Talking about the
trees?
No! You don't hear what he means by the trees?
The environment?
No.
Sure,
he means the environment. But I know what JC heard. The trees will be happy.
And what was the comment he made just before that?
Oh, he goes, I think it's going to be very interesting in Michigan.
And if Romney would have said that.
No, he's not talking about that part. He said, when you're talking about the line where he says, Obama being winning re-election again, like there shouldn't even be an election. Obama's going to win anyway. Or Obama's going to have another 4 years.
Right.
Well, I'm sure he means environmentally the trees are going to be happy because Barack Obama has a strong environmental campaign.
But he knows nothing about the environment.
Oh, we know this.
Why he's investing all this money in this stupid company that ended up going.
What about green energy? Is a big deal to them. $4 billion so far has been allocated to alternative energy.
Yeah, it's been allocated to alternative energy that is not proven to work.
There's no proof that it works. But that's what I think Michael Moore is saying when he's talking about the trees will be happy. But the hell if it doesn't sound racial.
It sounds like he said that with his hood on.
Yeah, but the trees will be happy.
Yeah. So you weren't thinking what I was thinking.
That's exactly what I know you were thinking. Why would he even mention that? The trees will be happy.
Everything he accused Santorum of doing, getting it in there, he just did the exact same thing.
Sounded like it to me.
Whoa.
Why would the trees be happy? I mean, this goes right into the chink in the armor conversation we were having yesterday about
new ornaments.
Yeah.
new ornaments, right?
New what?
Is that what you're thinking?
New ornaments. Yes.
Wow.
That hit. You know, I listened to it the first time, and I listened to it the second time. When he said that the second time, the vision popped in my head.
You know what bothers me about guys like Michael Moore?
One of the ornaments.
No. What? You know what bothers me about...
We'll explain that to her after, behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. You know what bothers me about Michael Moore? Here's a guy who's probably living the most unhealthy life in the world. He's living high off the hog. He's obviously eating like a banshee. You know? Oh, yeah. I'm trying to figure out, you know, why this man hasn't suffered something major yet.
No, that's mean.
You know, I mean, he gets so excitable over BS. And why does he think that he is the voice for minorities and downtrodden in this country, sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars on capitalism? He did a movie called Capitalism, A Love Story. Forgetting the fact that his movie had to be distributed by a major corporation which does its business through capitalism. Like, how is nobody calling this guy on it? Because it's a very simple thing that guys like Michael Moore does. Michael Moore lives off everything it is that he hates, everything that he denounces, and then what does he do? He goes out there to these groups and he says that, I'm here with you. I'm standing beside you. And when I get out of here, when I leave this environmental protest and drive off in my SUV and fly in my corporate jet, I'm going to be thinking about your struggle. You black people who have been suffering and having a hard time finding work, I'm going to have each and every one of my white cameramen and my white executives who produce my films, my editors, my narrators. No, he's white. I'm going to have all of my white people. He's got no major black people on his staff. Where are his black people?
He's probably got a 30-foot-high fence around his house.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Of course he does. You know, the article that was in the New York Times not too long ago that we read here that said, oh no, sorry, the audio that we played here on Al Sharpton's radio show when they asked where are Romney's white people? You know, I'd like to ask a big question: where's Bill Clinton's black people? Yeah, where? No, they always say like, where's Romney's black people? Romney's got no prominent black people who are working for him or are part of his. A part of his campaign. Well, where's Bill Clinton's black people?
God forbid if any of them spoke of them, they disappear.
And
like, when
he's
around them.
Where's Obama's black people in his cabinet? What do you got? Who's got that guy? Love? He's already left.
He should have kept Condoleezza Rice.
He's got. Where do black people? Where are Obama's black people in the cabinet? Can you name one black person in Obama's cabinet?
Yeah, I'm so in love with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're all in Harlem waiting on the next I Have a Dream speech.
I don't see one. I mean, is Valerie Jarrett, is she black? I think she looks.
If she's black, she's dating white.
Oh, Maxine Waters, she's not on his cabinet. She's a congresswoman. She's from California.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the Congressional Black Caucus, but who's a black people in his... He doesn't know any black Secretary of State. Bush had a black Secretary of State. He had two.
Yeah.
First black woman, first woman, head of national security.
But black people like to see... But the people that Obama is reaching out to like to see that he has all these white people working for him.
Why? He's a black man. If you're going to criticize Mitt Romney for not having black people in his group, why can't Obama be criticized? He's black, for crying out loud. Can't he give a brother a chance or a sister?
Obviously not.
And he's not scrutinized for that.
They've actually shown that he helps white.
I don't see one. How many people have left? David Axelrod left. Who did he get to replace him? Jim Carney, white guy. I don't see any black people there. I don't see any black people, any prominent black people in the Obama administration. I don't see any of them. Not criticized for it. Because I guess because the black man's the president and he doesn't need to do any more.
I guess not. That was enough.
That's disgusting. And I don't know. It sickens me. Anyway, speaking of black people... In a short bit, we are going to be speaking to Mr. John Ayala, the director of the D.C. chapter of the Guardian Angels. He'll be talking to us about the spike in D.C. crime. That's so appropriate that Reese on the Radio would come down to the D.C. area and there would be a spike in crime when I get down here. How freaking appropriate.
You brought it with you.
I didn't bring anything with me.
Bad luck.
Yeah, well, this is true. I did say that. I did suggest that I was bad luck. I don't believe that I'm bad luck, but I know that I probably had something to do with it. So we'll take a break. And
check your pocket. You have an iPhone?
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the first hour, and then we will talk to John Ayala, who is, again, the D.C. director of the Guardian Angels right here on Reese on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701 right here on Reese on the Radio.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are...
The number is 347-308-8701. And not a lot of news for Tuesday. I guess just because we had this called the holiday, all that other stuff. Hey, JC, have you seen Elizabeth Smart's husband?
No, I know she got married. I know they were talking about it. But I didn't get a glimpse of him.
You've got to see. Go to yahoo.com and go to the main page. It's, let me see, 11, 12, 13 stories in. They have a little scroll that shows up on the bottom of the news, and you can see the video, but apparently there are some quick photos. I'm looking at the picture of this boy, for crying out loud. He is so young. I mean, I didn't realize how young Elizabeth Smart was. You know, you look at her and you still kind of remember the 9-year-old girl, you know, or the 14-year-old girl. How old was she when she was kidnapped? 9?
I think so.
No, she was older. I apologize. She was at least 14 or something like that. But she's just, you know, into her 20s. But the kid who she's married, goodness gracious, he looks like a baby too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a girl who had such a traumatic experience for, you know, for those 9 months that she was kidnapped by that lunatic. And, you know, after everything she's had to go through, I find it amazing and somewhat, I don't know, astonishing that she had the ability to come out of all of that. She was able to find someone to fall in love with, you know, to be with. So, you know, it's actually... I don't know. I'm really, I'm proud of her. I'm happy for her. But goodness gracious, you got to see the kid, though. He looks like a baby. He looks younger than her. That's how young he looks. I mean, you have not seen the picture yet, Mary? Hold on, let me get to the picture here. What do you think?
He does look young.
He's a baby. I mean, I'm sure they're both pretty young. But they're he looks like a teenager. And maybe it's just a picture, but, I mean, he looks like a little boy.
She looks like a teenager, too, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they both, I don't know, it's alarming. I guess, I don't know. I don't know what I find more alarming, the fact that, you know, he looks so young or the fact that they're so young and they're doing this, so.
The fact that they're so young and doing it. And that she's
getting married is what I'm talking about, is like doing that part. Yeah, I mean, that's...
What did you think I was talking
about? I don't know. You said doing it. I thought
you
meant something... Well, I said getting married. It was speaking in context.
That's what I was speaking into. I know that most of the time I would be referring to other things, but at this moment in time...
Actually, some celebrity news that I know JC would be excited to hear about. Chris Brown and Rihanna are going to be reuniting on a song. I saw this today, and I was kind of surprised about this.
One of her songs, which is one of my favorite songs,
uh-huh.
is We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. I swear to God, she talked about them on that.
Well, they've already done a couple songs, to my understanding.
Well, they said Chris and Rihanna reunite on two songs. Yeah, it said Brown, who's still on probation for assaulting his ex-girlfriend before 2009 Grammys. They're saying that he's done two songs with her. And apparently they've had a Twitter exchange. No, my bad. Maybe that's something else. But the fact that they're doing two songs together, I find odd as hell. So.
But they're going to get back together anyway.
Oh, we really don't. Do you understand the way the world's going to respond?
She's going to have to be ruined.
Look, she's going to have to come out and say what really happened that night. For
well,
her, those two to get back.
What really happened.
No,
I
it's
mean,
not.
Beat the daylight out of her.
But again, there are more people defending what it is that he did. I heard Sherry Shepherd, even Whoopi Goldberg on The View defending.
Stop it. She did not.
They said, let me tell you something why they defended. Because they said, we don't know what really happened and what led to it. Now, that's not
to
say.
There were pictures. It doesn't matter what led
all they hear are people talking about the pictures, but they're saying that people don't know what it is that went on. Now, look, you and I could disagree about this, or we could agree about this in any particular way. Yes, what he did was absolutely wrong. There'll never be any argument here. But the bottom line and the problem that they're having and the issue that they're having is really, really simple. It's whether or not she provoked him. That's where they're having the problem. People are having a problem.
She could have done to provoke
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. But anyway, let's go to the top of the hour. It's Reese on the Radio right here live. Go ahead, JC. What do you want to say?
They actually been tweeting for a while.
They have been?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
she got the restraining order lifted herself.
Did she?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, we'll do the top of the hour. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television set. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off.
Roddy and Angel.
In the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Hey guys, we're back at Reese on the Radio live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. It is just 2 minutes after the hour, 8:02 Eastern Standard Time. And as promised, on the phone with us, we'll get to him in a second. We'll just give him sort of a loosened up, turn down the TV, you know, get comfortable, maybe grab an adult beverage. The director of the DC chapter of the Guardian Angels is going to be on with us for a quick minute. But to give you some background, there were some major news reports that developed today, and it was everywhere. I found it even on Drudge Report, so it was making national news, of course, because it's our nation's capital, that crime had spiked to unspeakable levels in the DC area. And one of the people who a lot of reports are on, from everywhere, from TV to the top of the news hour on talk shows, John Ayala was on talking about some of the issues going on and why the crime has spiked in such a way in the D.C. area. Now, I've got my own theories, and I'll be the first to tell you that my theories are usually spot on. I like to consider myself 67% right most of the time. Some of the time I get it wrong, but 67% is a pretty fair margin. I never, ever get this kind of stuff wrong. Now, I'm not one of those typical Negroes that people in the hood can't stand. Oh, he's lived in the suburbs. He's not really lived in the hood. He doesn't understand the struggle. And they'll be quick to learn, if they paid attention, that I'm from Hollis, Queens. I'm from Run DMC town. I'm from Stephen A. Smith town. You know him, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN. He'll tell you he's from the hood. That's where I grew up. That's where I'm from. And I understand the hood, I believe, a lot better than most people. And I'm sure Mr. John Ayala does as well. But I had to ask him and have a frank and honest discussion with him about why he believes that the crime is surging in the way that it has in the D.C. area. So we'll welcome to the show Mr. John Ayala. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right. Now, you've been everywhere. I'm telling you, I can't turn on a TV network that's talking about this story where I don't hear your voice or see your face.
right?
Is there a reason why they came to you, or was it a campaign of yours to get out there and discuss this, or what was it do? Because I contacted you when I saw your name out there, but what was your effort in getting out there and being a part of this conversation?
Well, it's a campaign that the Guardian Angels decided to put together because we're seeing this trend all over. I mean, if you Google, you'll see the Chicago chapter of the Guardian Angels are doing the same thing. They're out there because these people, the crime is up, in Chicago, New York is up. So the Guardian Angels, just about everywhere, is out there helping and trying to do their part to get awareness out there so people don't continue to become victims.
And you're doing this as an effort to help the people who could become victims. This is not based upon any motivation by there's no racial component, there's no class component. The Guardian Angels are there to protect the people, and that is to keep them from being victims. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's definitely no racial. I mean, even with the Guardian Angels, our organization, especially here in D.C., is a mixed group. We have white, black, Hispanic, male, female. We range from 15. I think our oldest member in D.C. is 78. And what we're seeing in D.C. is people of all color being robbed. I mean, in Northeast. People are being robbed of their cell phones, and then in Northwest, I mean, black people are being robbed of their cell phone, and then in Northwest, there's white people being robbed of their cell phone. This is a crime of opportunity. It's not
right.
A crime of race.
Right. Okay. Well, that being said, what are your theories about the surge in crime? I know they don't ask you to be a criminologist. I know that it's not your job to do forensic or ballistic, to get ballistic information or forensic information about this, but this is something that you do on a regular basis, and this is a part of your life. So I have to ask, what is it that you're seeing? Why do you think that these crimes are happening? Because you said it's a crime of opportunity. Why do you think this crime is happening, or these crimes are happening, or why they've spiked?
Well, definitely the crimes are happening because people want to make a quick buck. The young people that are stealing these phones, they know instead of me getting a job, or I can go out, I can steal four phones, sell them at $50, I made a quick $200. You know, and that's what they're doing. But, you know, it can be stopped easily. These young people out there are not getting the proper home training. People are not in their ear constantly informing them the right thing to do, and not the wrong thing to do, you know. So it's at a point where sometimes people are just giving up. And you say, you know what, I'm not going to help you. You do what you want to do. I'll wash my hands. So because they wash their hands, the young people are going out there and they're ripping people off and doing exactly that. They feel people don't care about them. They're not going to care about anybody else.
Do you think that this is a product of the inner city?
I would not say that. You know, because this crime, from what I see, is happening all over the place. And it comes from a lot of young people in the suburbs as well as the inner city.
So you're saying that this spike in crime is spiking in all areas? You're saying
it definitely is. And see, what happens is a lot of young people are reading this and they're seeing it in the media. And then it's a bunch of copycats. If you're in the suburbs and you see us working in the city and you want to be just like that, just like a lot of people nowadays, they look at the rap music, they look at the MTVs, and they want to be these phony Bloods and these phony Crips, they go out and do the same thing. So they go out and they copycat and they go out and try to make them a buck because doing something like this make them cool.
Okay, but you do, okay, I see you. Okay, you're saying that this is happening in the suburbs as well. But I have to ask you, as a Guardian Angel member, truth be told, Mr. Ayala, that these crimes are very prevalent in the inner city.
Yeah, that is true. But you know what? This is the way I see it. A lot of times in the suburbs, they don't advertise it like they do in the city.
Why would
they? Going on, they're not going to do it because they don't want the suburbs to get the reputation like the inner city is getting. But I tell you what, it has increased.
Mm-hmm. Are you there? Mr. Ayala, are you there?
I hope you didn't lose him. Are you there, sir? My apologies, folks, but I think, Mr. Ayala, are you there? Well, for some odd reason, we've lost him. Well, anyway, we're going to try to get him back. Let's take a break for a quick second. I'm going to see if I can get Mr. Ayala back on the phone. For some odd reason, we got cut off. It might be he's in a bad area, but we'll take a break. Give me 2 seconds, and I will find Mr. Ayala and bring him back on Reese on the Radio. Let me actually just find a commercial here to play, if I could just do that. I hate it when that stuff happens. Does this always happen to me, Mayor?
You gotta, you know, impromptu.
Flying by the seat of our pants. That happens exactly all the time. Give us 1 second. We'll be right back.
Hi, Beta. John, can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. Number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, I have you.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not...
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio Live, and again, flying by the seat of our pants, as we always do. John Ayala of the Guardian Angels, the director of the DC chapter of the Guardian Angels, is on the phone with us. We had a little phone problems, and welcome back, sir. Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's good.
Okay,
thank you.
Beautiful. Well, again, like my question, I know you were saying about the inner city and versus the suburbs, is that, you know, they're protecting the reputation of the suburbs. In your estimation, is that protecting the reputation of the suburbs because they don't want that negative publicity to be in those neighborhoods because it will probably hurt things like property value, tourism, whatever it might be. And you're saying that they're not quick to talk about those things in the media, so they focus their energy and their media coverage on the inner city. Is that your summation?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Now, if I can ask you a quick question, I'm sorry. Do you think, are the kids from the suburbs going into the inner cities and committing these crimes? Or the other way around. Or are kids from the inner cities coming into the suburb areas and committing these crimes?
I believe most of the time it's the young people that live in that area. If they're in the suburbs, they're definitely not going into the city and trying to commit the crime because if they're going there, it might be a bad thing waiting for them. So
right.
A lot of times people stay within their comfort zone when they commit these crimes.
Right.
And they do it in an area that, you know, that they know. They got to know the area. And kids in the suburb don't know too much about the places in the city unless they grew up and raised there, moved out to the suburbs, and then they know the area, so they'll go back and forth.
Well, the reason why I asked this question about where the real problem is and why the real spike has happened and why I'm focusing so much attention on it is because when I grew up as a kid in New York City, I grew up knowing that the Guardian Angels did one thing. The Guardian Angels, when I was younger, they patrolled the inner city where we grew up. They were everywhere, but they patrolled. They became, as they became more popular, they started patrolling areas like Times Square and Herald Square in New York. I started to watch the Guardian Angels grow, and they started patrolling all areas. They were very, very active in tourist attraction areas. By the way, is that still the case now? Do you guys really hang out in those areas in the late night sort of party scene to make sure that you're in those heavily sort of dominated tourist attractions or nightclub areas? Because a lot of fun happens during there.
We definitely do. Like here in Washington, D.C., in the summertime, we spend a lot of time on a Friday and Saturday night in Galway Place, Chinatown, and especially Adams Morgan between the hours of 12 and 4 in the morning, because a lot of people come out to clubs and they're full with alcohol. And when they're full with alcohol, again, another crime of opportunity. People see them. They don't know what's going on. They get knocked inside their head. People go in their pockets and they rob.
Yeah, and Adams Morgan is definitely been a place. I've been living in this area for quite some time, and Adams Morgan is definitely a place where, you know, there is a high rise in crime, especially in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. People come from all over the place looking for prey in Adams Morgan, and not just the people that are coming out to clubs full of alcohol, but they cruise the side street. They look into the cars. There's so many people that leave their laptops and a lot of valuable things left on the seat. Car windows get popped. They go in, they grab the things, and they go about their business.
We're on the phone with John Ayala, the director of the D.C. Guardian Angels, live. The number is 347-308-8701. Mr. Ayala, let me ask you this. What involvement does the Guardian Angels have with local communities? How are you impacting some of these local communities, and in what ways are you trying to?
Well, the way we are involved with the community, a lot of times when crime hits the community, people just don't know what to do. The first thing they want to do is just ask, why aren't the police stepping up? Why aren't the police doing this? Why aren't they doing that? So we come in to talk to the community and let them know that if they get involved and they come out, and instead of being afraid, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to say anything, but they want the police to help. The police can't help and do anything if anyone speaks, and that's because the criminals came up with this campaign, snitches get stitches and wind up in ditches. So we try to inform people, you know, a decent citizen report crime. So if you guys come out, you report the crime that's going on in the community, y'all stand up and unite as one, you can help your police department get rid of the crime that's in the community. Criminals are only going to work in a community where people do not get involved. The other thing, as Guardian Angels, going into that community, we give the young people an alternative to getting involved in violence, getting involved in gangs. When we go in, we talk to them and let them know. Majority of the Guardian Angels come from what they call the hood. We grew up seeing all the things that they see. We speak the same language, talk the same language. They say, look, come join us. Don't join a gang. We'll teach you self-defense. Get a chance to travel. You can be tough, just like a guy wants to be, the young guys want to be, but the only thing, you're going to use that toughness into doing something good instead of doing something bad.
And now, when you say that, you know, a lot of people in neighborhoods don't want to come out and don't want to, you know, report crimes to the police, don't you think that it's really difficult for those people that have to continue to stay in those neighborhoods where crime is taking place, for those people to come out? I mean, is there a safety net that is being put out there for those people that do want to come forward? Because it's very difficult when you have to stay in that same community, or you have to stay in that same apartment building or row house or what have you, and you're the only person, you know, coming out and saying something, and then someone finds out that you're the one that was the whistleblower. You know, then you put yourself and your family at risk, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So is there something that's happening that's being brought to these people's attention that, hey, you know, if you do come out and say something, we have your back. There's somebody here. We'll watch out for you.
Dude, support system, I guess.
Well, one thing with, you know, there's always a way you can report to the police. We're not telling people to open their doors and have the cops come and talk to them right there, unless you're willing to come out and work as a team. You have a lot of people in some of these communities. They're not Guardian Angels, but they call Orange Cap Patrol, where they come out and they say, you know what, we're going to patrol our area, but this deals with the quality of life issues. We're out here. If we see a bush that are too the Bush people can hide behind there to commit crime, jump out or mug somebody. We need to get these bushes trimmed. That street light is out. It's dark over here. We need to get someone come fix that street light. But at the same time, you're taking notes of what's going on in your community. Who's selling drugs? Who's committing the crime? And then you take those notes and you send it to the proper people, your police commander, your sergeant, your lieutenant in your area. But you can do that without letting the police come to your door and let everybody know that you are actually reporting the crime.
Okay, and when you so if you are doing that and you're a part of this group that is trying to keep your neighborhood safe, is the DC Police Department or the Department of Works that come out, that come out and fix the lights and do these different things, are they really taking action in DC? I mean, how quickly are they to respond to these groups?
Oh, they respond very quickly. A lot of time when these groups start up in the communities, they have community meetings where they would invite the police department, they would invite DDoCs and any other organization in the community to come out and say, look, this is what we're doing, who are the proper people that we will send emails to and inform them that we need these items fixed, that this crime is being committed in our community. And that way they have someone that they know that they are definitely going to, and that person is accountable for taking care of these items that are supposed to be taken care of.
Here's another question. Because you were talking about patrolling the areas that are high drugs, high crime, whatever they may be. What is your what has your opposition been like with groups like, as you aforementioned, the Bloods and the Crips or members like that? Have you guys been receiving sort of some opposition by those gangs, whomever they might be? Do they spark some outrage towards you? Do they make threats? Have you had issues with them? Have there been a small level of like, I don't know, some, I don't want to call it a war, but has there been like a slight issue between you and those groups?
Believe it or not, the Guardian Angels have not had any problems with these so-called gangs that are in the D.C. area. We spoke with them when we were in the community. They give us a lot of respect. They know what we're out there to do. And I think, honestly, a lot of those guys that call themselves gangbangers, they give us a lot more respect than they actually give the police. And I think that's because they know we're out there to make a difference. We're not out there to be a bully. We're not out there to hurt anybody. We're there to help. And they know if it comes down to it and we see them also getting hurt, we'll come to their aid as well. So we normally don't have any kind of problem from any of the gangbangers in the Washington, D.C. area.
But knowing that they have that kind of respect for you, Mr. Ayala, and the Guardian Angels, I have to ask one very tough question.
Yes.
Why are they still plaguing the community with this crime and drugs? Like, why are they still hurting their communities with their actions? Why are they doing it? If they have that respect for you and they understand what it is that you're trying to do, why are they still destroying those communities? Because what they're doing, and I have to be honest with you, you're probably never ever going to hear another black man say it to you in this way. I'd rather see every one of them dead on the street than to see them poison another child.
Right. Well, I definitely won't want to see them poison anyone either, but the bottom line comes down to finance. These guys that are out there doing what they're doing feel that they can make quick money by going out there and poisoning the community. Now, when we're in the area, they don't do it in front of us because they know we will react. It's just like committing a crime in front of the police. But once we're gone, they continue to do what they want to do.
Because they don't care.
Well, they don't care, and people in the community are not reporting. If these guys are standing on the corner and constantly people are saying, you know what, this is it, I see this guy, this is where he's putting the drugs under the right tire of the car that's up front, call the police, let them know, police constantly coming out. They're searching. These guys are saying, you know what, I'm tired of headache. The police keep coming over here. We don't know how they're finding out what's going on, and eventually they're going to leave the area. So you can easily clean up your area without being seen in the community. That you could do it right behind your doors.
But, Mr. Ayala, eventually they'll leave that community, and do they leave that community and become you know, outstanding citizens in another community, or are they just relocating that same behavior and going into another community and poisoning that community? So what, and with that question,
no.
What?
Can I just say, well, y'all.
No, I was going to say, you know, a lot of times it's a lot harder for them to go into another community
right.
and try to put that same poison there, because if this guy's there causing problems as well, they're not going to allow them to come over there. Or if it's a good community that already cleans up their community, they're not going to allow the bad guys to come over into their community. But, you know, we have to do something. You keep. Sometimes you get lucky and you'll get some of these guys that are causing the problems to decide, you know, I'm going to try to do right. I want to live a good life. I don't want to get locked up. But then you have some that think that that's the only way to live. They live in day by day. Half these young people that's out there, believe it or not, don't think they're going to live past the age of 27. They just figure they're going to live for today.
And are there programs in D.C.? Or there are things that you all offer as guardian angels in these communities that will, you know, that teach them something different other than, you know, obviously being out there patrolling and talking to them as you're out there. Are there actual programs that can somewhat, for lack of better words, rehabilitate them and allow them to move into a different way of life?
Excuse me, Mr. Ayala, hold on for me 1 second, please. You got it.
Mary, Mary, why you buggin'?
I apologize. That is my co-host, Mary, Mary, why you buggin'? What do you mean, do they have any programs? Programs don't work. Programs are nothing more than lobbyists and politicians using something to line their pockets. These kids, Mr. Ayala, correct me if I'm wrong. Programs do nothing for these inner city communities. Please tell me.
Well, to be honest with you, I personally haven't seen any of the programs that are out there work. You have a lot of young people who will try the programs, but that money calls back to them, and they go right back into the street. A person don't change unless they want to change.
Exactly. Programs do nothing.
They have to want to change, not the program. And I agree. You know, they have these programs now. They tell these young people they can go to the program and go to school, and they pay the young people $100 a week to go to school. And sometimes they'll do it just to get that $100. Yeah, I'm not going to say you won't get every young person that has changed their mind and decide to do something good after they receive some kind of skill, but a lot of them are out there trying, just living day by day.
Well, let's get back to that and talk about those children living day by day. Do you really believe, like, you know, you say crimes of opportunity, as you discussed before, you're saying that, okay, some of these kids are saying, okay, look, if I steal a smartphone, I'll get $50 for it right now. It's quick, it's easy money. And they're doing that in order to get that money. You don't believe that the kids in the suburbs are stealing somebody else's smartphone to get an extra $50. I mean, if the kid's living in the suburb, $50 is nothing to him.
No, what he said was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What he said was is that they're being copycats because they want to appear to be cool. They think it's not
exactly
about those kids.
Wait.
It's about being cool. It's about saying, oh, yeah, I just...
Okay, see, this is where I have an issue.
You have even the kids in Japan. You know, I went to Japan a couple of years ago, and they have Crips in Japan. What is Crips doing in Japan? It started in L.A., the United States. But I'm going to tell you how they got there. The people in Japan are watching BET, the MTVs, and they think that's cool. You know, what those kids are doing in the United States, and they want to be just like them. And the same thing happened with the kids in the suburbs. You know, I don't think they're as ruthless and as bad as as ruthless as the inner city kids, but
yeah,
they are out there doing the same thing.
Right, and you're probably saying, and I agree with you, you're probably talking about the inner city kids are probably stealing a smartphone from, like, the nerd or, like, you know, the smart kid who doesn't defend himself. You know, probably they're bullying some kid at school, and they'll take his, you know, all of their smartphones and stuff like that. In the inner city, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just, you know, it's winner take all. you know, for that matter. But see, I have to be honest with you, Mr. Ayala, I don't really care about the suburban kids and what they're doing. I only care about the inner city. Here's why. I think that your group can only do good in the inner city. The suburbs are going to be the suburbs. You're going to get those kids, and those kids are always going to have, and they're taken care of. And, you know, God bless them. You know, if they're out there bullying kids, you know, look, every kid has to get bullied. I got bullied. You know, I had more than, trust me, I had way more than a smartphone taken away from me. I got my butt kicked plenty of times. That's a part of the suburbs. That's a part of growing up. But these inner city kids, this is why my concern is higher for them, is because if they get someone who isn't willing to give up that $200 item, someone's going to end up dead.
Well, I agree, because right now the percentage is pretty high with a lot of the robberies. People are now armed.
Right.
They're carrying these robberies armed. And, you know, here in D.C., you know, any inner city, guns are easy to come by. And what's going to eventually happen is someone is not going to turn over their cell phone very easy, and they're going to get shot. I mean, just recently, I think it was about a month ago, a young man was shot over a pair of $200 Jordans. And if they're killing people over the Jordans, they're going to do the same thing over the cell phone.
What do you think that that's about? Why do you think that children, these young kids, are willing to kill somebody over a pair of sneakers? What do you think that that comes from?
You know what? Some people don't agree with me on this, but I personally feel that a lot of the games that are being played today that you buy on Xbox and PlayStation, and now you can shoot them and you see all the blood and it looks realistic. These people are going out there thinking it's a game.
So you're saying that they've become desensitized to the violence that it's easy to do?
It doesn't bother them. They see this on the games. They see it in the rap songs. They see it in regular movies. You know, and I personally believe that it's just getting embedded into them that the violence doesn't mean anything. And they go out there and it's just a game to them. You know, they think it's fun and they want to impress their friends. And if they kill someone, so be it. You guys will kill you today and later on tonight, they'll be out having dinner.
Yeah, well, see, I agree with you to some extent. I'm not going to put it so heartedly on the video games, but I will say that our culture has been very dismissive about the act of death.
Look, I've been in people's house, and, you know, this is a game they talked about for many years. But I actually been in someone's house and seen 7-year-olds playing Grand Theft Auto. Why is a 7-year-old playing that type of game when they actually have prostitutes in the game, they cuss in the game? You know, these are the type of things that should not be in those games, and these kids are playing it, and that's what they grow up on. And then if they have older brothers or fathers that did some time in jail, their attitude is, well, my brother did it, I can do 3 years, or I can do time in jail myself, it's not a big deal, or I got cousins in there. Instead of people discussing to them, you know, that's not where you want to go.
We're on the phone with John Ayala, the director of the D.C. chapter of the Guardian Angels. Let me ask you this, Mr. Ayala, because you brought up a very, very important point about jail. Now, I said this probably back in 2005, that what's happened within the urban culture is that they've marginalized jail sentences with what we call terms. Like, there are things in our life that are part of our lexicon. Like, words like baby mama have become such a common phrase that referring to somebody as your baby mama was okay, that, you know, instead of knowing that when I was growing up, when you referred to someone who had a child out of wedlock as a bastard. Now, I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? So you'll understand what it is that I'm saying here when I'm bringing in the association of the two. See, if you have a child out of wedlock, your kid is a bastard. I'll never forget when I told the young man that. I said, oh, you have a daughter? Are you married to the mother? And he was like, no. I said, oh, so your daughter's a bastard. He wanted to fight.
Right.
And I explained to him, and I said, well, your daughter is a bastard. Now, my daughter's no bastard. So I had to whip out a dictionary and show it to him. He was like, wow, I never knew that. I said, yeah, because you guys have now coined the phrase baby mama. That's become the acceptable term. So it takes off the tinge of
I guess the hurt or the angst that one would feel if your child was to be called a bastard in the normal lexicon.
Right.
Here's what I mean by that and why I'm making that association. When we start turning a year in jail into a term called a bullet or a skid bid, when we marginalize it or we start making these sort of point, these coin of phrases, we start coining phrases about these jail times, then people don't look at them with some sort of severity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we've done as a language, as an urban community, and I think in the urban community or urban dynamic, that we made this a social norm. So the kids know, oh man, you just did a year, that's nothing. I did three.
Right.
You know, it's like that there's that whole attitude about it. So that's what it is that sort of created sort of that dynamic within the community. There is no way to beat it. But let me explain to you what my theories are, and you tell me what you think, because you're out there and you got your boots to the ground. It is true that violence only begets violence, but these kids don't respond to anything else.
Uh-huh.
And I think what it is that they need to see is violence for what it is. And I got to be honest with you. I believe that you cannot coddle these people, no matter who they are. Bloods, Crips, no matter what, you cannot coddle them. They cannot be rehabilitated. They cannot be changed. There's got to be a stronger presence within the community that is trying to do right and get those people to stand up and combat the crime and the criminality that is happening to them by their own people, by their own community members. When I say their own people, I don't mean blacks. I mean their own people, people who live in their community. You wouldn't allow anybody in your house to come in and trash it up, shoot it up, and sell drugs in it. Your community is your house. There used to be a time when we knew our neighbors. The kids would walk out the street. You couldn't steal a piece of candy because Miss Johnson, if she saw you, your mama would allow her to beat your behind.
Well, you can't do that nowadays.
Well, I know, but
parents
I'm just saying,
can't even give you a
day, there was a day when the village used to raise the child. Now,
right.
It is true. We do have a community where people have turned their heads. They don't even know their neighbors. There's been such a turnover rate within these communities that people don't know each other and they don't care about each other and they just don't care, period. Let them do what they do as long as they don't bother me.
Right. Oh, that's gets snitches attitude. You know, if it's not my people that's getting hurt, I'm not going to get involved. And they just turn their head. I remember last year, I think it was, a gentleman got beat in Columbia Heights. And people were walking by and just watching this man get beat up by several people. And not one person stopped to help, and the man was killed. Not one person helped.
What do you think that fear comes from?
I think, again, people just don't want to get involved. You know, it's the mentality that the young people are growing up with now. You just don't get involved if it's not your family members, it's not your friends. And if it is one of your friends or your family members, a lot of times now it's like, don't call the police. We're going to deal with it ourselves. It's that street justice. And the street justice don't get us anywhere but more bodies in the street. You know, and that's something that we got to start explaining to our young people, that it's not about street justice. You have to report and let the authorities take care of the incident that occurred.
Do you think that maybe the authorities should somewhat revamp the way that they deal with things? And maybe that's why, do you think that this is any, you know, do you think that the authorities have any fault in why people feel that way?
Well, I think we need more of the, back in the day when we was in school, the Mr. Friendly officer going to the schools. The officers do not go to the schools and talk to the young people anymore like they used to. When you see an officer in the school, if they're not just security, they're coming in to take someone out because someone did something bad. We definitely need that at a young age. Catching them at a young age, explaining to young people that police are there to help. They want to make a difference.
That's a big problem, Mr. Ayala, a big problem within our community, and this is something that I've talked about often, is that what we have in a black community, especially in urban communities,
is that we have more and more people telling their kids that the cops are bad.
Right.
That, you know, that the cops are bad. Cops only. I'll never forget. I was just watching. I'm sure you remember the first episode. I mean, the first movie, Lethal Weapon, with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. And there's a scene near the end of the movie where Danny Glover and Mel Gibson's character, Martin Riggs and Murtaugh, they're going to this woman's house. The house blows up, and the only witness who saw the electric guy come in is a group of little kids, and they're sitting by the fire hydrant. Do you remember that scene?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, just to give you, if you ever see it again.
I've seen the movie, but I
okay,
just don't
but
remember.
There's a little scene where Roger Murtaugh is talking to a group of little kids who may have seen one of the electrical guys who may have caused the house to blow up. Anyway, but it's a group of black little kids talking to Roger Murtaugh, Danny Glover's character. And the little boy's in the film and they're talking. And even though it's scripted, I think it just means, for me, it's exactly what it is that I'm talking about. One of the little boys says, "My mama told me that the police shoot black people." And every kid is like, "Is that true? Is that true?" I've heard that all my life as a young man. I've heard the terms "don't trust whitey." I've heard "don't trust the police." I mean, come on, there was an anthem by NWA.
Right.
F the police. It's, you know,
and
it's
that's why I say we need more police officers in the schools at a young age talking to these kids. I mean, talking to the kids at a young age, because that's where we're going to get at the young
people. Well, how are we going to trust the police because they come to our schools, but the people who we trust the most at our home are telling us not to even respect the police?
Yeah, it's very hard. It is hard, you know, and it's sad that people at the home are telling their children not to trust the police. And a lot of times the ones that are saying that are the ones that are involved in criminal activity. People that are not involved in criminal activity are not going to tell the young people not to trust the police. It's not going to happen. It's someone that's involved in criminal activity that grew up with that same attitude are telling their children that.
Yeah. But how do we save those kids? How do we save those kids from being victims of their own family? You know, it's a different thing.
Ms. Ayala?
Yes.
We're here.
Okay, I couldn't hear her. It kind of faded.
No, she was asking, how do we save those children from being victims from their own family? I'm like, because that's what they are. I mean, they're setting those kids up. Dave Chappelle had a great line, I remember a couple of years ago, saying that, you know, the one thing that they don't teach, and this is actually a private conversation between me and Dave Chappelle, but he said the one problem that we have within our black community and our black parentage is that they don't teach black kids how to speak to police. It's an immediate adverse response when they see police officers.
Oh, yeah. I agree. They don't teach the kids how to speak to the police or to respect the police. And we have to get to the parents as well. And talk to the parents about how to talk to their kids about talking to the police and what to do when the police come around, and let their kids know that the police are there as their friends. So a lot of times we got to get to the parents as well, not just to the children.
Well, one last question for you, Mr. Ayala, and we'll let you go, and we thank you for spending so much time with us today. What do you see as the anecdote for this spike in crime? Do you have any ideas on what it would take or what we're not doing? I know you made some very pointed remarks today about what people should do, and that is be aware of their surroundings. Don't be so obvious with your, you know, don't sit around walking through the streets looking through your phone and not paying attention to where you are and what you're doing, which is very valid. But do you have any other points that you believe that could help this, you know, probably bring this epidemic as it might be down, or to stop it from becoming an epidemic?
I think we need to, just like the police are trying to do right now, these cell phones that are being ripped off and the computers, things of that nature, when your cell phone is stolen, it should be some kind of way where it's flagged automatically when you report it.
Mm-hmm.
That when someone tried to turn that phone back on under a different name, it'll come up automatically and say, this phone has been reported stolen, then we can't do it. The other thing is we have to educate a lot more people in the community that there are a lot of apps out there nowadays. Some people know about them, where if your phone is stolen, you can track it down on another computer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that app's out there, but a lot of people don't know about it.
Well,
I think that would help out a whole lot.
You know, you can look this up, Mr. Ayala, which is actually something we talked about right here on Reese on the Radio. Apparently, there's a new app that you can download as a citizen. If you see a crime, you can anonymously report that directly to the police. And it's an app that you can put on your phone. You don't even have to pick up your phone, put it to your ear. You just go right there to your screen, to your smartphone screen, and report what it is you're seeing, a robbery, an assault, a crime of any sorts, drug selling. There's an app that you can actually download that's out now. So maybe that might be of some use to you to actually get the word out there to some of the people that who are fearful of getting involved. Here's a way that they can do it anonymously.
Yeah, in the police department, I know in D.C., they have numbers that you can actually send a text to.
Right.
Where you can report crime just by text, and the person won't even know that you sent a text or got on the phone and made the phone call. But one thing that I keep trying to educate people on with these phones, I believe if more people have the Bluetooth and the ones that are voice-activated, that would help a lot because, again, being a crime opportunity, when they take that cell phone out, people see it, that's when they snatch it. If
right.
you have a phone in your pocket and you can just say someone's name and the phone will dial that number,
right.
Most people are not going to steal your Bluetooth out your ear.
Right.
You know, that would help out a whole lot because it keeps the phone away and won't give them that opportunity of taking it.
Right,
right now, young people are seeing us as a personal ATM machine.
Right.
So we have to figure out a way to stop them from thinking that we're a personal ATM machine. And I think that's one of them. The Bluetooth is very important where people, you know, you keep your phone put away.
Right. So anything that you'd like to promote on the show, I guess the website is also important. Where can they log on to get more information about the Guardian Angels in D.C.? Or the Guardian Angels in general?
Yeah, in D.C., you could just go to guardianangels.org/chapters with /DC, and you can find us that way. Or you can just go to guardianangels.org, which is our main website, and you can find us through that as well. The Guardian Angels are also going to give a free self-defense class to the public this Saturday from 1 to 2. At 2300 Martin Luther King Boulevard, Martin Luther King Avenue, in Acacia on the fifth floor of the Salvation Army building. And it's just to teach people not to become Bruce Lee or Wonder Woman, but it's to want to actually get out of it really fast.
Right.
Until you can get to safety. So we'll be giving that class this Saturday. And if anybody interested in joining our group, we accept Guardian Angels age 16 and above to come and join the group. You know, longer they haven't been arrested for murder, rape, child molestation, any sexual assault, they can be a member and just put in 4 hours a week of their time. They can contact us through the website or look for our email. And hopefully they'll come on in and we can sign them up.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. And, you know, anyone who is interested, please look up the Guardian Angels. If you like to take that self-defense class, I could take it too, right? I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I'm like 42 and kind of winded, but, you know, I can.
Oh, all ages can take the class. we're taking them. Actually, the classes range from 15 and above.
15 and above. Okay. Absolutely. So, Mr. John Ayala of the Guardian Angels, the D.C. chapter, we thank you again for being on with us. And we're going to take a break. We will be back very, very soon. And we appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All Bye. Right. Bye.
Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for...
Hold on.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, baby.
It's Free Soda Radio. I wasn't on that entire time, was I?
I don't know.
I was just talking. Didn't even matter.
Now it's 54 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, it's 54 minutes after the hour right here on Free Soda Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Anyway, we just got off the phone with John Ayala, the director of the DC chapter of the Guardian Angels, and we spoke to him about some of the crime that's been all over the news and spiking in the DC area. And I'll be putting that on ReesonRadio.com tomorrow. You can listen in whenever you like, if you'd like to check out that interview. A lengthy one at that, and I'm actually glad that he stuck around for as long as he did. Look, I'm a big boxing fan. Are you a boxing man? Are you? Okay. Look, JC, you got to come on, because you said this while we were going in, while we were in break, and I'm a little ticked off by this. Okay, I was one of the people who was dying for this fight between Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. I mean, I haven't been this excited since, I have to say, no. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to stay in the realm of boxing. The last time I was this excited, it was Mike Tyson versus Leon Spinks.
No, you weren't.
Michael Spinks. I apologize. Michael Spinks. Oh, you're crazy. I was excited about that. That was Tyson's heyday, right before
that,
he knocked.
That's the one where I went to go watch it on closed circuit television at the Hartford City Center.
Spent a
got
lot of
money. Me some beer and popcorn.
And it was
he came back and everyone was exiting the arena.
It was over. I'll never forget that. I watched that at the McKenna House, and the only thing that I got to see was the replay. We drove all the way from Westchester, drove all the way to the McKenna House on Springfield Boulevard. We rushed into the house to watch that fight, and when we watched it, the replay was happening. We were just hoping to come in into the second round. It was over in 91 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, we couldn't believe it. It's like, it's over? It's like, yeah, it's over.
The worst $32 I've ever spent in my life.
Everybody lost money that day. Everybody. I mean, it hurt Mike Tyson's pay-per-view career because he was knocking everybody out so fast. People weren't even going to spend the money on pay-per-view because it's not even going to last one round. Why bother?
It would only make a highlight reel. The whole match would make a full highlight reel.
Exactly. It hurt Mike Tyson in the end. I mean, for him, it's a crowning achievement. Knocked the guy out in 91 seconds. But, you know, for pay-per-view, it really, really hurt the pay-per-view market afterwards. But, yeah.
Well,
that
this fight that we're talking about now.
Yeah, when Floyd Mayweather is about, not only was I excited about it, let me tell you what the spectacle was and why this was so amazing to me. The new Dallas Stadium had just been built. That takes in 100,000 people. That's soccer numbers.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's standing room in that stadium, and it's got the big, like, 60-yard screen on top. So you could have a boxing match. Everybody's going to see that bout. You can feel that. This is 2009. 2010 the fight was going to be, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No. You're talking about Mike Tyson. We're talking about Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather. This is where this was going to be. And I was excited about it. It was a $50 million a tag going to both fighters. $50 million apiece.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones, who owns, of course, Dallas Stadium, stood to make billions on this. Just on tickets alone. Yeah, exactly. Forget about it. It stood to make too much money. And it's not happening behind this whole steroid alleged scandal. What the hell is the what's the feedback now? Where are we at now with this thing?
Well, Manny Pacquiao insists that he'll fight Floyd Mayweather, but the offer was financially unacceptable.
What was the amount?
Well, this time he offered him $40 million and no pay per view.
He offered him $40 million, but he couldn't take in any of the pay per view revenue.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
But if Floyd was offered the same amount, he wouldn't do it either. I mean, to me, Floyd just bought himself some more time in a real cheap attempt to win the publicity campaign.
Listen,
he knows he can't beat him.
So many people are saying now that this fight isn't going to happen.
No.
But to save boxing, it's got to happen.
Vince McMahon will do it.
Listen, if there's any hope for boxing, let me explain something to you. If Pacquiao Mayweather does not happen, folks, get ready for the new regime of fighting, and that's the MMA.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my man. That's
They're
it.
They're dying in this country, dude.
They may be dying, but that's all that's left, man. Mixed martial arts, that, you know, that stuff, that's all that's left. It's sad, but it's true.
Their biggest star, well, what was once their biggest star, or going to be their biggest star, Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, I know he screwed up, but, you know, the bottom line is...
He got knocked out by a drag queen.
Yeah, wow. That's just awful, dude.
Well, you're used to seeing that in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a
break.
That
wasn't wrestling.
We'll do the...
I know.
We'll do the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
Reese.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back, and we're live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. Pleasure to be back here. Not a lot of stories, definitely a lot of news going on. I want to talk about this in the next half hour when we get back. Now, I said this before. I don't want to talk about it now, but I'm just going to get into some news for this break, and we'll get into that. But let me tell you something. When I said this to you before, I'll say it to you again. The bottom line is, watch out for liberals. Liberals are the skankiest people in the world. And when you hear this audio that I'm going to play for you, when you hear this audio, you'll know exactly what it is that I mean. When they don't like somebody on the right, when they don't like somebody conservative, they will wish upon you the most vile things that if a conservative, if a Republican ever said the things that some of these liberals say, they'd be out of a job, they'd be lynched, bottom line. They'd be lynched in the community. But liberals get away with it. When you hear what it is that I'm about to play for you, you're going to be stunned. You're going to be stunned. But anyway, let's get into some news. JC sent me this story out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. A 23-year-old college student from New Mexico is scheduled to go on trial for allegedly stealing a small pumpkin worth $2. According to the TV station in Albuquerque, reports that Lauren Medina will go before a jury and what is this? Moriarty Magistrate Judge Steve Jones on Tuesday. She's accused of taking the pumpkin in October of 2011 from a place called McCall's Pumpkin Patch in Moriarty. Her sister, whose name Annette, says that Medina spent $75 on food that day but forgot to pay for the pumpkin she picked up as she was leaving. Oh, yeah, she was leaving. Okay, her sister says that she offered to pay for it but was refused, then handcuffed. Her sister also says that she's in disbelief that the theft charge against her sister was not dropped. She says her sister could have pleaded guilty to be given probation, but refused. Smart move?
Yes.
To refuse?
Yes.
Go on trial?
Yes.
How can she prove that she was going to pay for it?
I mean, she bought $75 worth of groceries that
day. So what?
Day.
Was that proof?
Everybody has been to the grocery store when you get a 24-pack of water, a case of water or a case of soda, and you put it underneath in the bottom. As a matter of fact, I was just in Walmart a couple of weeks ago.
And you did it?
I took everything out of the cart. I had a 99-cent like trial size of hand lotion that I keep with me all the time. So I was out, and I needed to get another one. I put it in the cart. It fell to the bottom of the cart. I had taken everything out of the cart and put it on the conveyor belt. She rang everything up. And then for whatever reason, she saw this little tiny tube of lotion. which I'm glad that she saw, because maybe I'd have been handcuffed and taken off to jail too. She's like, what about that? Is that yours too? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. This, you know, I spent $50, but I forget that this thing drops, and I forget that I even had it because I had so many other things on my mind. It could have been a case of soda all the way on the bottom. Sometimes you forget.
That's not what it says here, though. JC, did you have a point to make?
No, it does say that.
No, it does not say
that.
It says that Medina spent $75 on food that day but forgot to pay for a pumpkin she picked up as she was leaving.
Yeah.
I cannot believe you were not paying attention to the story. See, that's what I catch up on. That's what I'm here for,
okay,
Mary.
Even though she picked it up as she was leaving,
it's not
don't
a
you
mistake,
think
though.
That that's better for the paper or for whomever?
Who picks up a pumpkin
way?
While they're leaving and says that they forgot to pay for it? That's not, it
that's
makes
probably
no
not even
sense.
What happened. She probably picked it up at the checkout or something, and it was, and she just, it was $2 for Christ's sake.
Her sister says that she spent $75 on food that day but forgot to pay for a pumpkin she picked up as she was leaving.
Well, her sister probably was missed. That's not a quote, though. That's not what her sister said.
Maybe her sister should keep her goddamn mouth shut.
Maybe so. Maybe her sister should be in jail.
But she...
Lock her ass up.
Lock the sister up. Look, she...
That wasn't a quote.
Take the damn probation. It's probably
listen,
a misdemeanor.
It shouldn't even be a misdemeanor. It was $2. Even if... if you take probation...
I mean, does she plan on getting in trouble anyways?
Yeah, exactly. It's the only reason why you don't take probation.
But if you take probation, probation costs money. Nothing is free. You then...
What do you have to pay for probation? $35 a week?
I don't know what it is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I can tell you what it is in Stafford or Fredericksburg.
Please tell me.
It's more than $32 a week.
How much is it?
It's a significant amount of money.
Give me a number.
The initial pay is like $100. Then you have to pay court costs. Then you have to pay fine costs. Then you have to pay to do some stupid, this new thing that they have out now that's called RoboCuff. So you have to call in and let your probation officer know where you are. Then you probably will get community service, and you have to pay for that too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the right thing going to trial.
Over a $2 freaking pumpkin?
That's the right thing going to trial.
It seems to me that someone wasn't always on the right side of the law, is what it sounds to me.
I had to go to trial.
I've always been on the right side of the law. What are you talking about? Arrested is one thing. Having to go through probation, my dear, is
another. Oh, I have no charges.
Oh, okay. You go through probation?
No.
I take my chances with my peers.
Yeah, I'm going to take... I'm with you there, too. I'm giving her guff. The truth is that...
I think that if they waste... If the court in Albuquerque, New Mexico wastes the taxpayers' money over a $2 pumpkin... They ought to be fired. All
when they should be looking at the damn borders.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
you're...
Wait, I think she's Hispanic. Maybe that's...
Her last name's Medina.
No, her last name is Medina, but her sister's last name
Atencio.
Is Atencio. Medina is probably, that's probably Hispanic.
How do you know it's Hispanic? Okay, also in news, another horrible story about child abuse. In Des Moines, Iowa, an Iowa mother is in jail after her child was found drunk, which is horrible. Police said the 22-month-old's father found the child unable to keep their balance and continuously crying. So, this isn't funny. The doctor said that the toddler had a blood alcohol level of 0.09. Officers said the mother was also intoxicated and could not keep her story straight. She'll be in court later this month. Here's a question. How do you think the child got drunk? Let's speculate here. To the worst degree. How do you think, Mary? How do you think the child got drunk?
The mother.
I know how this happened, by the way.
The mother was probably trying to get twisted and probably wanted the kid to go to sleep and probably put some of her drink in the bottle.
Wow, that is a really cynical view of this story.
You are cruel.
Yeah, that's even crueler. What about you,
that's
JC?
That's cruel.
I know how this happened. What about you, JC? What do you think?
Mom got
passed
out, put her drink down, and the kid grabbed it.
That's it. How do I know that that's the way that it happened? My grandmother, God rest her soul, She was such a... She was so absent-minded. She would fix herself a drink and she would put it down. My younger brother and sister would always walk up to the drink and just sip it. She would leave it somewhere, walk away, come back. She would see the drink was half done or almost done. And every time she saw the drink, you know what she kept saying to herself? But did I finish my drink? Did I? I didn't. And she'd fix herself another drink. And sure enough, my little brother and sister would walk away. She does exactly what she was doing.
Take now, that sip, not... make that face, take that deep breath.
Exactly.
And twist it.
Now, the only way we caught them was because, you know, she finally walked up, remembered where a drink was, walked up, and there was my little brother with his little hands around the drink, sniffing the drink. That's how we got busted. But
I thought he might have ran his tricycle into the cabinet or something.
Exactly. But that's how she found out. And of course, it became, you know, became a story of folklore. But 0.09.
That's the legal limit for an adult.
That's above the legal limit for
right.
an adult. So,
for a 22-month-old.
Now, this chick walks out with a $2 pumpkin.
Yeah.
And she's got to go to trial. This mother.
She wouldn't take a deal.
She shouldn't take a deal. You didn't take a deal.
I didn't do it. She's talking about, it's going to be something different.
She was probably absent-minded about it.
Okay. Do you understand what the difference you're talking about? This woman clearly put her hand on a pumpkin and walked out, okay?
Supposedly.
I didn't put my hands on anybody.
Allegedly.
That's what I'm saying. She was putting the handcuffs.
Allegedly picked the pumpkin up according to the story that where they paraphrased her sister.
Right.
No quotes, no nothing.
Right.
That made for a better story. You know how the media works.
Yes, I do.
Well,
I do know how the media works.
Thank you very much.
I still don't agree with it.
You don't have to.
Anyway,
22 months old. The child is not even 2 years old yet. They haven't even reached.
Listen,
2 years
kids,
old.
22.
And you are so you're so drunk that you can't even. I mean, well, I want to know what the father did. Like, did he? I
if
probably
well,
if
didn't die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Absolutely right. I think that's the even scarier thing is that the child could have died of alcohol poisoning, all things considered, because the size of the child, forget about it, is going to take considerable. It doesn't take a considerable amount of alcohol to do damage to a child like that. Anyway,
yeah, me, I stopped giving my kids alcohol when they were kids because they got violent.
Oh my God!
Thanks for admitting that, JC. Anyway, this story, I didn't know whether or not I was going to talk about it, but I guess we have to. I want to know whether or not this is a good or bad idea. Apparently, now they're thinking about making hamburger in a science lab. That's right, folks. There's going to be test tube beef. And apparently, at a conference from the American Association for the Advancement of Science, which is called the AAAS, in Vancouver, that's in Canada, for all of you people in Jersey.
With free health.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, a scientist who says there that he announced that he's developed pieces of tissue that will be able to make them into hamburger. And, okay, I have always said one thing about this process, but I'm going to get your take on it. Mary, would you eat... Well, wow, talk about processed meat. Would you eat test tube beef?
No.
Do you think test tube beef is a good idea?
No.
JC, how about you?
I wouldn't want to know that I'm eating it.
But you wouldn't
but
care?
But I'm almost certain.
He wouldn't want to know.
He said he wouldn't want to know, but he wouldn't care if he didn't know.
If he didn't know, then of course you can't care because you don't know.
Yeah, I got that.
But I'm also thinking, that test tube beef is probably handled way more sanitary than the beef that we get in the grocery store.
Probably right, because it's scientifically engineered. It's probably going to be void of E. coli or, you know, mad cow.
How can it be? Why would you think that? It's in a lab.
What's made in a lab?
Where all kinds kinds of stuff is growth.
Yeah, but there's
not right. It's controlled.
Controlled.
No, come on now.
You can't control
haven't
the beef
you,
that comes from a cow.
Ever, haven't you ever watched what is that movie where the
outbreak? Everybody,
you ever seen
what is that? Like, is that like sitting on everybody's shelf? Everybody saw Outbreak.
Mary?
What?
You're already eating genetically altered food.
Excuse me. First of all, I'm not a very big red meat eater.
No. They've been doing the vegetables for years.
Okay, listen.
How do you think they get more tomatoes on the vine? They cross it with bananas.
Oh, my God. Would you stop it?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Natural foods, though. These are not, I guess in a way they are natural foods, but not in a test tube.
You see what I'm talking about?
That's where it starts.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Warner Brothers produced the movie Outbreak. The movie only made $67 million, but everybody knows this damn movie.
But it was also made in 19, it was released in 1995.
Still a point. How do all these
people? And I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't
seen
that?
No.
It's actually pretty good.
It's a very good movie. I just don't, like, even when they were talking about, what is that process?
What
they
process?
They were, with these sheep.
Oh, when you're talking about the cloning.
Yeah, cloning. I mean, I just, listen,
well, you know,
I've taken science classes, and a science project going bad, especially when you're putting this into your body,
can
be extremely harmful for you, because there's things that happen on farms with live animals that if you cook your food properly, you cook it to the proper temperature, you can kill bacteria, stuff like that. But you can't kill a bad science project by cooking it. I mean, you know what I mean? What if something falls into it? I don't know. What if there's an outbreak in the land?
The thing is, Mary, they're scientists, and this is what they do. This is what they do for their careers. They've been doing this all of their academic and professional lives.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just shocked Mary with the photo. You didn't know there was a real test tube, baby? If they can make test tube babies, they can make test tube beets.
Now, is she the test tube baby?
She
or
is
the
test
baby
tube baby.
That
no, that's her baby, but she was the first test tube baby. That's her picture right there.
But what was the, I mean, what was the...
Yeah, what was her name?
What did they do?
Hold on, I'll tell you right now. Louise Brown was her name.
What did they do? They did what? I mean, how did she become a... They took somebody's egg and somebody's sperm and fertilized it, right?
In June 20...
She wasn't cloned.
She was a test tube. So if they can
She was born in a Petri dish.
That's correct.
Okay, so, but that's something different. I look at that differently. You're still using the natural way. You're just not. You're still using the natural resources. You're just not using a conventional
so
way.
So if a test tube baby can exist, why not test tube meat? And this is the reason why I believe it should be test tube beef. This is the reason why. The most important reason why. Third world countries.
Yeah.
Think of every third world country that cannot produce, you know, vegetables. They don't have farm animals. All they got over there is goats. They don't have cows.
They eat snake and stuff.
When have you ever seen anybody? You know, this is the reason why they're so damn skinny.
I'm looking at a picture of Louise Joy Brown now.
You know how expensive it is? How expensive is that test tube?
If you can microprocess beef to these foreign countries, they'll never starve a day in their life.
Yeah, but how expensive is that?
Expensive for what?
The scientists' salary alone.
Oh, come on. You know, Doctors Without Borders. Half those guys work for nothing anyway.
Oh, my God. Quit it right now.
No, but now we don't have to. Listen, look at how much money we are spending to ship over these big, giant crates of peanut butter.
Let them eat rice.
You know what? The peanut butter and all the food that we're sending.
Go ahead.
All the food that and everything that we're sending to these countries.
Yeah, we're sending peanut butter and snack bars.
Well, peanut butter is a very good source of protein.
It's a source.
No.
But it's temporary.
And a lot of it don't make it. It goes bad behind red tape.
Peanut butter doesn't go bad for a very long time.
But why are we feeding them? Why would we be feeding them peanut butter?
Why
when we
are
can
they
feed
not feeding
beef?
Themselves?
Because they can't. Well, look, have you seen those lands? Have you seen Middle Eastern countries? Those countries are nothing but sand and dirt and sand.
And nothing grows there.
It's beachfront property, but there's
they
no water anywhere.
Food, though.
All of that.
Like Lebanese food and...
No, that stuff
they
that...
have some of
Lebanese
the
food is food that you enjoy when you're living in a town that you can get a regular hamburger in.
And those people are not going to eat that food because
sure they
it
are.
Has to be halal.
What?
If it's not halal, they're not eating it.
Well...
They're making halal. What do you do? Have to have someone pray over it?
No. You're thinking about Jewish. No, you're thinking about kosher. Halal is a certain way that the
food is prepared.
Is actually slaughtered.
Well, this isn't. Nothing's being slaughtered.
Nothing being slaughtered.
And that's exactly why it can never be halal, and we can't feed it to them, and they're not eating it.
We don't
They'll
have
be
to
be too afraid that we're feeding them pork.
No. That's the whole thing. It won't be pork from a pig, and now they can finally enjoy pork. Can you imagine Muslims finally being able to experience the other white meat? This could be a windfall for them.
And then they're gonna eat the other white meat with their left hand.
No,
right?
They're probably
and start gonna... wiping their butts with their right hand.
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe even using toilet paper.
Right, exactly. Can you imagine what it's like? Hey, Muhammad, are you eating bacon?
Absolutely. Made
it's
bacon made in a factory by the Americans.
That's exactly what it's going to
be. Now let's go blow them up.
Exactly.
No. But what I was saying earlier about the genetically modified fruits, it's like they were splicing banana trees and tomatoes because bananas grow so plentiful on its stalks that they wanted the growth gene and the bananas to be infused into the tomatoes so that you will get that much more tomatoes on the vine.
That's fine. I can handle eating bananas and tomatoes.
It's all genetically altered. It's all born in a petri dish.
Those are genetically made, and you're okay with that.
But it's not really genetics. It's not.
Why not?
It's born in a petri dish. You don't get a tomato plant to mate with a banana tree.
This isn't an animal either. This is synthetically made beef.
Did you read the story?
No, what did he say? Go ahead,
read
please.
The story.
What are they saying that's happening that I'm missing? You think that I'm missing?
The news release explained that by using stem cells
from a cow,
Post was able to develop skeletal muscle that is found in steaks and hamburgers.
Right.
He is hoping to debut the first test tube hamburger in October.
I'm there.
Well, you do it.
I'm there.
With lettuce and Swiss cheese.
I'll send there with you can put some A1 on that hamburger.
I don't put A1 on anything.
Oh, my God. A1 is...
No.
That's right. I use the...
And don't believe him. He grilled chicken sandwiches.
Why? Because A1 is too ghetto?
Yes, A1 is very ghetto.
A1 is very tasty.
Yeah, I call it steak ketchup. That's A1. That's exactly what it is. I'm there.
And look, Muhammad.
Look at the picture. I mean, do you really want to...
Muhammad, are you eating ham hocks?
After it comes off the grill?
Are you eating ham hocks, Muhammad?
Yes, I am. I can eat it. Tomorrow I am going to make some chitlins.
Chitlin on a cracker. Hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
A chitlin gyro.
Genetically made pork rinds.
Oh, God.
I'm with that.
Yum. Yum.
Yeah,
pork rinds are not yum anyway.
You ain't never had a good pork rind.
It's so funny that we're going to be eating pork chops.
With some hot sauce.
Oh, listen to me. You get me some.
That's dinner tonight. Pork chops.
Oh, is that what it is?
What'd she say?
She said they're making...
That's dinner tonight.
Making pork chops tonight. Hey!
That's what's going to happen if we try to feed the Arabs pork.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's something that they can eat, that they won't go against their religion.
Listen, let me tell you. I've been close to a few Arabs in my life, And I tried to... They,
why does that surprise me?
Why does that not surprise you?
Yeah, doesn't surprise me either.
Because I'm a worldly person.
Oh, jeez. Okay, never mind.
I'm a worldly... No, don't you cut me off.
I have to.
No, you're not.
Go ahead, make your point so we can go to break.
I mean, they won't even... I'm left-handed. I try to shake somebody's hand with my left hand, which is kind of odd, but I'm left-handed.
Go ahead, finish.
Wow.
Finish.
No, I'm finished.
You are.
I'm just... We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's least on the break. Try to think. Harold?
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm David Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
All right, we're going up.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back at 3Sun Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Last 30 minutes of the show on this February 21st, 2012. And again, we'd like to make sure that we thank Mr. John Ayala, the director of the Washington, D.C. Chapter of the Guardian Angels for calling in. Talk to him about the spike in crime. Not like we're going to get anywhere with it, but, you know, we wish him luck. And you can go down to Martin Luther King Boulevard, and if you make it to the actual place, because we hear that's a violent neighborhood.
In Anacostia.
We hear that's a violent place over there. So
yeah,
you go,
but you just go during those times.
Yeah,
the
right.
Guardian Angels will be there.
Yeah, and you go there and you
between
can...
Between 1 and 2 in the afternoon
right,
on Saturday.
Right, go down there and get some self-defense training. And
and actually, Anacostia is changing. Is it improving? It's improving, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll learn about those areas as we're going. Anyway.
18 years ago.
Hey, you know what's weird? I was thinking about it while you guys are having a conversation with them. Something they started in Hartford that they revealed today. They brought in a small task force who started working with probation officers and parole officers.
Okay.
People
that Mary are very familiar with.
Yes. Yes. Her kind.
I'm very excited.
Okay.
And and what they started doing was those that were known to be repeat offenders, especially of drug dealers, and those that are known to for drive-bys and things of that sort, and they've been actually out and following them and watching them on the streets. And then in the last 2 weeks alone, they pulled over like roughly 12 cars that had the same offenders in it with tech knives, sawed-off shotguns. I'm trying to think of the term that they called them.
Recidivism?
No. They were called the team that they brought in.
Oh.
Were called crime.
Crime busters.
Stoppers.
No, wasn't crime busters, but it was something preventative. Like they were able to predict when these guys are going to be doing shootouts or doing
crime analyzers.
Not even analyzed. The same thing like they're doing, like one of those TV
profilers.
Shows.
Yeah, like profilers.
Yeah, like right, criminal profilers, right.
Right.
And
okay.
And they cleaned up 12 cars where they found tech nines and all these guys that they had hooked up with the probation officers and parole officers and it's worked here in Hartford. I mean, it's worked well.
Hmm.
We haven't had any murders at all. I think we had one this year.
Wow.
And last year at this time, we were up to 12.
Something that they do in D.C. very frequently, like as far as guns and stuff like that, they, you know, have this day or 2 days event.
Exchange.
Where they, you know, people bring in guns. And
oh, they do
that's
that
old. That doesn't work.
They do that everywhere. It doesn't work.
That's old.
I know it doesn't work.
Guy walks in there with a Walter PPK from World War I. I mean, these guys aren't walking in there with semi-automatic weapons. They're not dropping in. Coming in with granddad's old rifle for $300 and Christmas gifts. It's a joke.
Well, Walmart gift cards.
Yeah, exactly. Freaking joke. I so hate
that.
Yeah,
that is a joke.
Freaking program. I hate
Walmart
it.
Gift cards in D.C., there is no.
Whatever they get, whatever they do, they always give them out something. It's so stupid. I hate that frickin' program.
Yeah, they give Walmart and Target gift cards up here.
Yeah, it's annoying. Anyway, so as I was saying in the last break, that if there's one thing that I know about liberals is that they are vicious, evil, cruel, and mean. And the things that is that they are willing to say, trust me, will shock you. So there's a woman by the name of Dana Loesch who does a syndicated show. You probably don't know who she is. I know who she is. I've listened to her show. It's streamed on sometimes on certain websites. She's on Breitbart TV. She's streamed she writes for Breitbart. And she's also been heard or seen, for that matter, on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. She's always on that program. But she does her rounds. Political analyst, and she talks about politics. Anyway, so this was a host that was filling in for her. But a caller called in about the host of the show, Dana. And this is what she said.
Brenda, line two. I'm Tony Katz filling in for Dana Loesch. This is the Dana Show. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, I had a question.
Sure.
Why is Dana Loesch, whatever her name is, not important because I've never really heard of her.
Okay.
Why?
Glad you called in, though.
Today?
Why is she taking the day off today?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to her.
Oh, well, but you got me, and are you telling me I'm not good enough?
Well, this was in response to something she said. I just want to know why she's not here to answer, her listeners.
But you don't know her name, but you're a listener.
Kind of made people mad.
You don't know her name, but you're a listener. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it. Her last name doesn't even matter. But you want to know why she's not here to answer your question because you're a listener.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the question? Maybe I can answer it.
First off, might be a little difficult. How could you... Maybe you can. Maybe she's listening and she can hear this herself. How could a woman say what she said about women, as callous as she has said it? I mean, really.
Well, why don't you tell me what she said about
women? Shouldn't have spread their legs in the first place. Maybe then they wouldn't have to get vaginally probed. Who says that about people? That is rape. You forcibly penetrate another person against their will. That is rape. It doesn't matter.
You're claiming
Virginia law is going to be that's not going to even be valid. Because
you're claiming that an ultrasound is rape. Is that what I'm hearing?
That you probe anyone against their will with anything. It could be a tire, a male. Rather not be that lewd on your show since you're so conservative and all. A male.
No. You've gone past worrying about what I am long ago. Don't worry.
Probe. It is rape. Bottom line. That is right.
Okay.
And a woman to say that about other women, to say maybe they shouldn't have had sex in the first place, I hope she winds up in the same circumstances as the women she is talking down to.
Oh, my goodness. Now I have to tell you to be quiet. What's wrong with you? Did you just say that Dana Loesch, did you just say that Dana Loesch is wrong for what she said and then hope she gets raped? Did you just say you hope Dana Loesch gets raped?
And there you have it, folks. Now, we've seen this before.
Okay, but can you tell me what the original...
The context was is that we had this conversation before. Remember when we talked about Foster Freeze, when he said that birth control back in his day was the girls used to put a bear aspirin between their knees.
Uh-huh.
Well, she was sort of saying the same thing. That the perfect birth control is not to spread your legs. That's what Dana Loesch said in her show. This woman was responding to that by saying that she didn't like what it is that she said about other women, and then went on to talk about this new law that they're trying to pass in Virginia, in fact, where what they want to do is have the woman go through an ultrasound where they will actually put a device inside the woman so that they can check the baby. And she was suggesting that a doctor doing that was a form of rape.
Who would suggest
that? The caller was suggesting that, saying that any time that anybody probes you like that was considered a rape.
But forcibly.
She was calling it forcibly because this being a new law that they were going to have doctors do that before they could perform an abortion, that would be doing it against the woman's will, and that was a rape.
Oh, so this procedure would be a stipulation of killing your baby.
Exactly.
And that's a problem.
Of course, to liberals.
You don't want anybody to put a probe in your body if you so, but it's okay for you to kill your child.
That's the whole thing. Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. It's okay for him to put a device to suck out the child and kill it, but to put a device to see the ultrasound, that's a rape. You see what a double standard is? And then to suggest afterwards that she hopes that she ends up like the women she's talking about because she doesn't agree with her. And as I said, we've seen this before with Sandra Bernhardt when she was making those claims about Sarah Palin because Sarah Palin did not agree with abortion.
Yeah,
and had suggested
very
right, and had suggested that Sarah Palin, when she was in New York, should get raped by five black guys.
Yeah, that was... She was doing a
benefit in Boston at the time. We talked about it on the air, and one of the people who is going to be featured in that charity, a woman by the name of Emily Rooney, the daughter of famed 60 Minutes broadcaster Andy Rooney, came on my show, and she said that if Sandra Bernhardt was going to be a part of this, that she was going to pull out of the event.
Didn't they end up
called my show. The director of Rosie's Place, which was who the benefit was for, ended up calling my show and saying that they had removed Sandra Bernhardt from the dais, and she was no longer before that. JC, did you want to chime in?
No, I kind of remember when you got her kicked off the show.
yeah, I know. Yeah. But again, you know, this is another classic case where you don't agree with somebody and you make these claims where...
But how can you not agree with somebody on that? Forget the claims. Forget the, I hope that happens to you because you're a horrible person.
Okay.
Broad, check this out. If you get pregnant and you're going to... a clinic that is going to remove that living fetus, that growing fetus from your insides, something that has already attached itself to your uterine wall and is growing inside of you a life. So what?
Well,
get over yourself. If they're going to do something to monitor the baby, if they're going to do a sonogram or they're going to do anything like that, they're going to probe you. So what? You've already been probed anyway.
Wow.
What the hell is the difference?
Well, this, okay, here's the idea. The idea
of
doing...
If you're out there listening, you should call in.
The probe idea is simply this, is that, look, there has been a disconnect with some women who have had abortions. And the disconnect that some people believe is that when women do not get this ultrasound or get this particular procedure done, they're so removed from the child that it's become kind of passe to just have the abortion. And they believe that this will actually help women to connect with what it is that they're going to do, to actually see the child, to have an ultrasound take place, to hear the heartbeat, that you should actually experience that before you do it. And maybe that will cut down the rate of people who have abortions. Now, of course, abortion advocates are against this because, you know, they are fighting.
Well, that cuts their business.
Exactly. A lot of people aren't willing to admit that this is nothing more than a business practice of Planned Parenthood. They are in the business of aborting babies. That's how they make their money.
And my stance on thing is, yes, I do believe that women should have a free right to choose what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before. I don't think the government should come into anyone's personal life and make any choices or force anybody to make any choices. And honestly, if I was raped or something like that happened to me and I winded up pregnant, it would be very difficult for me to say, okay, I'm going to have this baby anyway, and to always have to look at this child, which was a product of violence or whatever the horrific situation was. But the problem in this country today is that women use abortion as a form of birth control.
I think you're right.
And that is where my issue lies. Birth control is not abortions. Birth control is the pill. Birth control is condoms. Birth control is IUDs. Birth control is not having. You can only get abstinence. You can only get pregnant. Like, there's a very small window where you can even get pregnant. If you study, if you know your body, you know when you're ovulating because things are happening in the vaginal area during that small window that are not happening at any other time of the month. So pay attention to your body. Read up on when women ovulate. Read up on how your reproductive system works. And if you don't want to take pills, you don't want to use IUDs, you don't want to use condoms, you want to put yourself at risk for disease, for this, for that, but you don't want to put yourself at risk for pregnancy, then don't have sex in that very small, and it's only 24 to like 48 hours, honestly. It's a very small likelihood that you will get pregnant, you know, if you don't hit that prime time, that spot. I don't care how fertile you are. We used to refer to my sister as Fertile Myrtle because you could look at her and she'd be pregnant. you know, and we still do refer to her that way, although that issue has been taken care of.
Should a tube side?
No. So... You can't just go around saying, oh, well, I hope you get raped or whatever, or saying that having a sonogram you're validating that as being raped. No, you're not. Why are you even worried about that? Why are you not worried about the fact that you're going into an abortion clinic to kill a baby? That is what you are doing. There's so many women in this country that wish that they could have
babies. Because it's not important to them.
But
that isn't important to them.
It's not, and because it's just a form of birth control. And there's the after pill, so stock up.
The morning after pill?
The morning after pill. Have as much sex as you want to, but stock up on the morning after pill. You know, you can get it anywhere. You can go through the drive-thru with CVS and get one.
Tomorrow on the show, what I think that we should do is there's a video that's circulating. It's a very graphic video that breaks down Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobbyists that talks about what Planned Parenthood is doing and how it is that they're selling abortion to the masses and how they're doing it through sex. And the people that they're targeting are as young as 10 years old.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's sick that 10-year-olds would even need to be targeted.
Well, listen to how they're targeting them. The books that they are showing, that they're giving them, and I'm going to let you watch the video, okay? I'm going to let you look at the video yourself, okay? It's not long. It's about 5-6 minutes long. I'll edit some stuff for it before we air tomorrow, but I want you to watch this video. When you see the book, and the narrator in the piece even says it himself, it said if an old man had walked into a park with a book handed out by Planned Parenthood, this book that is doled out to 10-year-olds, if an old man, father, mother, whomever, had walked into a park and given this and was reading this book to children, they'd be arrested.
And they'd have to probably, and they'd probably become, they'd be a sex offender.
They'd be charged with, yes, absolutely. But Planned Parenthood, the book that they're putting out there, the cartoons and the network, the TV network that they have.
They have a cartoon.
They have cartoons. When you see this video, I'm telling you, you are going to be shocked.
What happened to you get pregnant, you have this life living inside of you. I don't care whether you're married or not. Again, if it's a violent situation, I mean, I can't say that I wouldn't have an abortion, but you can't just use it at your leisure. It's not you. That is the greatest gift from God, in my opinion, that anyone.
Well, you just said the key word.
Can ever have.
You just said the key word. A gift from God.
It is a gift from God. You have this living, breathing thing
in
your
body. They don't believe that.
That you. But how can you not feel that way?
They don't believe that.
Of a person.
They don't believe that.
Can you be?
A child is only a child when it leaves the womb.
No, a child is a child.
When it leaves the womb.
It is a life that is
and
growing
if it leaves
inside
the womb,
of you, and you are feeding that life. You're creating
it's
something.
It's leaving, when it leaves the womb on the day it's supposed to, that's when the child is alive.
But
before
scientifically,
the, before
that is,
the third
child. Scientifically and biologically, that is a false statement.
Listen to me. The child is not a child until the ninth month when the child leaves the womb and the parent wants it. If the parent wants it, it's a living and breathing thing. If the parent doesn't want it, it has no rights.
That's wrong.
It has no rights whatsoever.
That's wrong.
It has none of the inalienable rights as a citizen of these United States or as a human being
yet
under the way that they live.
Yet if you're an illegal here...
Oh, absolutely. Well,
now
you know, they
pregnant.
Love the idea
and
of
now,
illegals having babies. They
now,
know that.
And now you've all of a sudden you get a pass.
When I hear
before
people
the baby is born.
When I hear people use the term, Joy Behar used this term, that contraception is a way for people to control their families, to control the size of their families. This is how they do. But I'm sitting up here going, wait. What has that got to do with anything? Contraception is not a way for you to control the size of your family. You control your family.
Exactly.
Contraceptions do nothing.
Is a lazy way.
Absolutely.
It's a lazy way of not taking responsibility for your own actions. Does sex mean that much to you that you can't stop having it for 24 to 48 hours or whatever the time frame it is? And it's a very small window because I have studied this up and down and I can't remember exactly what the hours are. But it is only a certain time. It is a very small window. And if you can't control yourself, then shame on you.
Well, they don't want you to control yourself. Remember, that's what progressiveness...
No, they want to control you.
Progressiveness is about being able to do whatever it is that you want, whenever it is that you want about it. Forget about the consequences because now we're creating safety nets. It's a world full of safety nets.
It's a lazy and disgusting thing to do. I've been to abortion clinics. I've seen people protesting. I've seen some horrific things, and we almost got into it at one point on the show, and you guys cut me off because you couldn't handle the actual mental picture that I was drawing for you all.
What were you talking about?
I went to a late term abortion clinic in Manhattan that should have been shut down, where they actually aborted a baby. For a friend of mine, it was a 2-day procedure.
Wow.
They killed the baby first and then made her go into labor the next day.
What do you think about the argument that they say if they don't have abortion clinics that they're going to be midwives and back alley abortions happening all over the country?
I do believe that, and because it's a fact. It happened before.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
And here's why I don't believe that. If there's one thing that I know is that if there's a deterrent in this country is when there are no safety nets. You see, if you know...
But those back alley people will come because those...
Well, I'm sure they will come, but I think that...
With a price
but,
to pay.
That's fine,
death.
But people will say... Exactly, but I don't think that anybody would risk their life
now,
to go
and
into a back alley.
Okay, so, and I can't say... Let me say this. I don't think that they should do away with abortion laws because there are actually women that have health problems. That get pregnant, they have health issues.
And cannot carry the baby.
And cannot carry the baby, so they have no other option. It's either you...
But if you have a health problem...
What? Maybe you don't know that you have this
okay,
health
well,
problem.
Okay, well, fine. All right.
Maybe
that's
a pregnant...
Yeah, but how often does that happen? How often does that happen, Mary? How often do we know? People make this argument... Listen, people have made this argument dozens of times. Because people will make the argument to say, oh, what about the victims of rape and incest? And I always ask, JC, do me a favor. See if we can do this right now within the last 7 minutes of the show. See if you can do this. Give me the number nationally on pregnancies that were products of rape and incest a year. This year, last year, 2010,
okay,
whatever it is.
I
bet you that number is minuscule.
And I'm sure that it is, Reese.
Considering,
I do not disagree with you. But for those people that it does happen to, for those people that have health issues that don't develop or you don't know that you have those health issues until you're carrying these children, you don't know. So I can't say that I would be in agreement to ever doing away with it, but it needs to be, people need to know that you cannot abuse that right that you have to make a decision on whether to carry this baby or not. It should only be given to people that are under certain circumstances, and you should have to prove that. You shouldn't be able to go into an abortion clinic 3 and 4 times and continue to have abortions. You shouldn't, because not only is it bad for the unborn child, but it is bad for the woman. How horrible do you feel after you go into an abortion clinic and kill this baby or terminate this pregnancy? How bad do you feel for how long? I mean, that's a stigma. It has to stay with you. If you are a human being,
I don't think.
It would have to. It has to. And if it doesn't, then your ass should be locked up somewhere because you're not a human being. It would have to.
I don't know. I don't think that there are many people out there who think of it from that level. I think what there is an ideology out there that people don't
Brenda,
feel.
Brenda, line 2. I'm Tony Katz filling in for Dana Lash. This is the Dana Show. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, I had a question.
Sure.
Why is Dana Loesch, whatever her name is, not important because I've never really heard of her.
Okay.
Why?
Glad you called in, though.
Today?
Why is she taking the day off today?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to her.
Oh, well, but you got me, and are you telling me I'm not good enough?
Well, this was in response to something she said. I just want to know why she's not here to answer, her listeners.
But you don't know her name, but you're a listener.
Kind of made people mad.
You don't know her name, but you're a listener. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it. Her last name doesn't even matter. But you want to know why she's not here to answer your question because you're a listener.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the question? Maybe I can answer it.
First off, might be a little difficult. How could you, maybe she's listening and she can hear this herself. How could a woman say what she said about women as callous as she has said it? I mean, really.
Well, why don't you tell me what she said about
women? If women spread their legs in the first place, maybe then they wouldn't have to get vaginally probed. Who says that about people? That is rape. You forcibly penetrate another person against their will, that is rape. It doesn't matter.
You're claiming...
Virginia law is going to be... That's not going to even be valid. Because
you're claiming that an ultrasound is rape. Is that what I'm hearing?
That you probe anyone against their will with anything. It could be a tire, a male, rather not be that lewd on your show since you're so conservative and all.
You've gone past worrying about what I am long ago. Don't worry.
Probe. It is rape. Bottom line. That is rape.
Okay.
And a woman to say that about other women, to say maybe they shouldn't have had sex in the first place, I hope she winds up in the same circumstances as the women she is talking down to.
Oh, my goodness. Now I have to tell you to be quiet. What's wrong with you? Did you just say that Dana Lash, did you just say that Dana Lash is wrong for what she said and then hope she gets raped? Did you just say you hope Dana Lash gets raped? I'm asking you a question, darling. Answer the question. Did you just say you hope Dana Lash... Did you or did you not just say you hope Dana Lash gets raped?
She's gone.
Yeah. So they
call. Well, I'd be gone too. I mean,
I think the producer.
That's great that he went off.
I think the producer got rid of her just because she just kept rambling on. But you know, yeah. Hey JC, what'd you get?
Quick note. I was reading, looking it up here with the Christian Life Resources.
Okay.
And the way they really, really, really broke it down to where it's a very, very low number.
What's the number?
And they were talking of a study of 170,000 rapes in the country, but they broke it down to less than 450 total.
150 total?
450 total of 170,000.
So you're set, and that 450 pregnancies related to rape and incest.
Right.
450, and that was in 1 year?
Yep, 170,000.
There you go. There's nothing else that you can say. 450. So there it is, your argument, every time that a liberal brings it up. What about those victims of rape and incest who get pregnant? You can now respond. It's only 450 of those a year. Out of 310,000 people in this country, I'm not saying that they don't matter, but it's not a strong argument. Anyway, that's it for us. We will take a 21-hour break and return to you tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on Reese on the Radio. You never know, we could have somebody else on the line like we did today. We'd like to thank Mr. Why am I forgetting his name? John Ayala of
Ayala,
the DC, DC Guardian Angels. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. As usual, same bat time, same bat channel right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget to check out Reese on the Radio as well anytime that you get a chance. And, you know, send us an email, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We will talk to you then.
Happy hump day.